parliamentary election with Chief Minister Adam Giles blaming disunity in his party for what he calls an electoral thumping. The Chief Minister conceded defeat shortly before nine last night at a country Liberals Party event in Alice Springs and rang Labor leader Michael Gunner to congratulate him. But Mr Giles says it's not the end of the party.
Now, the party's strong, it's got great members. We just need to get some discipline and some of those things into play there, but that'll occur, it won't take long. There'll be a bit of pain up front. I mean, that's what always occurs in these instances. We're not the first political party to lose. We're not the first political party to lose in a landslide, and we won't be the last political party to come back and form government sometime in the future.
Meantime, Michael Gunner says he's ready for a new style of government.
The trust bestowed to us is by no means a right. It is not a right. We have a precious duty that we must honour in public service. That's what we must do, by setting high standards. We have to be community leaders. And I personally pledge to all of you, I will work tirelessly. I will work truthfully, and I will work selflessly for Territorians.
Hostel stabbing victim Tom Jackson remains on life support in the intensive care unit in a far north Queensland hospital. A Townsville hospital spokesman says Jackson's condition hasn't changed since he was admitted after a frenzied stabbing attack at a backpackers hostel late on Tuesday night. The 30-year-old was attacked at a hostel at Home Hill about 100 kilometres south of Townsville while trying to assist and protect fellow Brit Mia Aleph Chung, who was stabbed to death. Tom suffered multiple wounds to his head and torso. His father, Les, who arrived from the UK on Thursday night, has spent the best part of his time in Australia at the bedside of his hero son. A major emergency role play exercise will be held in Sydney's CBD to test the city's capacity to deal with any future incidents. More than 700 emergency service personnel are set to take part in the exercise today, including members of the public who will role play family and friends of the victims in the purported incidents. Quirky coming-of-age film Girl Asleep has won the richest prize in Australian film, beating the home favourite Jasper Jones at the Cinefest Oz Festival in Western Australia. Directed by Rosemary Myers and written by Matthew Widdett, Girl Asleep was chosen over three other finalists to win the $100,000 prize. Italy's President Sergio Mattarella attended a mass funeral in central Italy on a day of national mourning for the victims of Wednesday's earthquake. The BBC's Lucy Gray has more.
The coffins have got flowers on top of them and photographs of the people who lost their lives. There's two small white coffins for children, and they've got the photographs of these two little girls who lost their lives in Pescara del Tronto on Wednesday morning when this terrible earthquake struck. That village of Pescara del Tronto is totally devastated. There isn't one single house still intact there. It's been such a traumatic period for the people of that village.
There'll be more funerals in the coming days, including the capital, Rome. This is Air News. The All Blacks has retained the Bledisloe Cup for a 14th straight year with a 29-9 win in the second rugby test. New Zealand captain Kieran Reid says Australia worked hard, but it was their night. Wallabies halfback Will Genya has told Fox Sports they let another one slip away.
It's disappointing, you know, because it's two opportunities to play the best side in the world and come away with something. But as I said, we've come up short again.
In front of a crowd of over 18,000 on the Gold Coast, Penrith's Matt Moylan kicked a match-winning field goal 2 minutes from full-time to give the Panthers a 15-14 victory over the Titans and a berth in the NRL finals. There were also wins yesterday for the Cronulla Sharks, beating the Roosters 37-12, and the Canberra Raiders had a 44-30 win over Manly. In AFL, Geelong had an impressive win over Melbourne, destroying Melbourne by 111 points in Paul Roux's last game as coach. Geelong now has seven straight wins, with their latest success locking in a qualifying final at the MCG in the first week of the finals. In other results, the Bombers beat the Blues by 24 points. The Swans claimed the AFL Minor Premiership, taking down the Tigers by 113 points. The Gold Coast lost to Port Adelaide, and GWS has secured a top four position after a 37-point win over North Melbourne. Australian Independent Radio News.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather. Sydney weather today. Sunny, areas of fog in the outer west. Early this morning, patches of light morning frost. It's been a cool start to the morning, Jim. But Sydney will head for a beautiful day, sunny and 20 degrees. What about at Wollstonecraft and way out west in Wilcannia?
Okay, Wollstonecraft, it's going to be a maximum of 20 degrees. That is nice, isn't it?
We had a beautiful day.
Yeah, we lost that nice weather.
Cool morning, though. Very cool start.
Wilcannia, not too bad today. Partly cloudy, a maximum temperature of 20 degrees.
Big League Magazine is your must-have guide for every weekend of NRL. It's the only magazine carrying official NRL team lists, plus expert analysis, previews, statistics, feature stories on your favourite players, even a fantasy NRL guide. Big League, your most trusted source of rugby league info and the highest-selling rugby league publication in the country. On sale every Thursday in news agencies, supermarkets, and at every NRL game every week.
All covers, all grounds, all beaten. Franco won the Champion Stakes and lived up to the fight.
International Racing at its very best. 7 days a week
across the Sky Racing Network.
One of the legends of the sport creates a little bit of magic at the mountain and secures his sixth victory in the 1000.
Would you believe it? Tonchi Stepanovic, the world number two, has lost the gold medal, outwitted by Tom Burton of Australia.
Thurston to choose from with Coote. He hits it, he scores! He's got the clear goal! He's got the premiership!
2 kilometres as the crow flies, and no one is faster than Kim Brennan. She completes her set. Gold to Australia! The 31-year-old four-year mission complete.
On Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, Mulgoa Road, Penrith. Here's your hosts, Jimmy Smith and Ray Thomas.
What do you know? A new intro, Raymond.
Yeah,
how exciting. No, that's not right. It's going to be an exciting 3 hours today, right up until 9 o'clock. Ray and Jimmy, looking forward to your calls to 1353 53. I know Ray Thomas has an excellent talk topic to release very shortly, but a big show, dare I say it, Raymond?
Massive show.
Massive program for you this morning. We'll have our race replays bright and early. Adrian Bott, he and Gay Waterhouse have had a great win there yesterday. Evacuation, impressive.
Nice
3-year
horse,
old.
Yeah.
Nice horse. John O'Shea, Astern.
Nice horse.
Yeah. All right, there you go. On the spot, who would you take? Choice of two? Evacuation or Astern?
That's a good question, Jim. Two quite different three-year-olds. Maybe Astern.
Maybe Astern. Mm. Yeah, fair enough. All right. James Harron, we'll ask James. He's got another three-year-old, the DEFCON. So we'll have a chat to him about that. Andy Pascalides from the world of football. Man, you 1-0 over Hull FC last night. Well done to the good guys. The ZenZ. Well, this is interesting because producer Jeremy is back from the Olympics, from Rio Fern, as they were calling it, Red Fern. And what's happened in the interim, there has been just controversy aplenty. And I believe producer Tanya is very happy to hand over the reins of the quiz.
She slept well last
producer,
night.
To producer Jeremy. It's back, the ZNZ Watch Quiz. Just a score update on that one.
Is it 18-17 James Smith
in
front?
No, it's 17-all.
Oh, is it? Okay.
It's 17-all. It's a ding-dong battle as we come into the semi-final series. Yeah. We'll have a chat to Zor about all the latest in the game of rugby league. Our legend of the game is back. We're having legends being made over there in Rio. Our legend of the game is back, and we're going to kick off with Mark Edward War.
What a player.
Wow.
Love watching him bat.
It was ridiculous, wasn't it? Just how easy he made the difficult look.
Oh, I remember his first test match innings, Jim.
Yeah, Adelaide. Yeah. 116?
138. Yeah, 138. Yeah. And I don't think one ball didn't hit the middle of the bat from the very first ball. He just looked absolutely at ease. And that's how he played his test cricket, wasn't it? Just a natural talent. Just came so easily to him.
Arguably the greatest catcher.
Slips fields ever.
In Test cricket history. He hasn't got the most catches now. Rahul Dravid has gone past him. But that's sheer weight of numbers. You play so many Test matches. But
Brilliant.
Mark Walk. Trent Lanskill will be here. We'll have our Event Cinemas quiz too. courtesy of Prakash and the team out there at Event Cinemas Parramatta. No fires this week, Ray. You'll be happy to hear.
No popcorn machine.
No popcorn machine really causing some problems. Dean Bulldog Ritchie with all his insights into the game of rugby league. Scotty Foster from Steve Foster and Sons. And as I mentioned, we're taking your calls throughout the morning, 1353 53. Also, get us on the SMS, Ray, 0419 SMS BSB. It's 0419 767 272. And of course, you can get us on the tweets at Big Sports WEND, at Big Sports WEND. And all the sport is hotting up, especially in the National Rugby League. Ooh. Good morning, Raymond.
Yeah, good morning, Jimmy. Good morning, everyone. You've had a busy weekend, Jim. I heard you on your dulcet tones on the Friday night coverage with an upset down there. Wasn't it?
What a cracking game of football.
The Broncos played really well, 26-16 defeated the Storm. And there you were backing up last night at Shark Park, so to speak.
Yeah.
Did the Roosters play Cronulla back into form?
Oh, I don't think the Roosters played. Well, they didn't play as well as they have been, quite obviously. But I don't think Cronulla have been that far away.
Yeah, good point.
I think there was a poor performance against the Dragons. There was an understandably a letdown when they lost after a five-day turnaround, minus Michael Ennis when they played the Raiders. I thought their performance against South Sydney was, the effort was really good. The execution wasn't there. And they came out last night. They were down 12 points to nil, and then they just went bang, and they got back to
their
controlling
confidence.
Possession, going through the middle of the field, and then on the back of that, those star players, Holmes and Barber and Fecky and all these guys really create for them. So it's good because this game next week, the minor premiership, it is the Storm up against the Sharks. So take the JJ Gilton and Shield down there because one of them will be winning it.
What did you make of the Storm on Friday night? Broncos were really, really good, but the Storm just seemed to be slow out of the blocks. The Broncos jumped them early, never let them back in the game. The Broncos are now four straight by memory, Jimmy, and they're building nicely into the finals.
I think that's a fair assessment of that game. And not only that, Ray, I think it's the manner in which the Broncos beat them. They threw the ball around.
From the start.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it was brilliant to watch.
And second phase play became a priority.
And Sam Thaiday in his 250th, his offloads were tremendous. Had a fantastic game.
I don't think I've seen him play better.
Yeah.
And this is the thing. Sides like Canberra that do things a little bit differently, sides like the Warriors, they worry Melbourne.
Mm.
Melbourne like you to play how they think you're going to play.
Yep.
But when they play a little bit differently, like Brisbane did, there's a high risk, high reward element to it. But they certainly got the job done. The Bulldogs beaten by the Cowboys 24-16, which we would think, given next week's game, is going to mean the Cowboys are now in the top four.
Mm-hmm.
So they are back in contention for the competition. Here's the question this morning, Raymond, 13-53-53. Can the Broncos win the comp outside the top four?
Never happened before, has it?
No, not in this semi-final makeup, either AFL or NRL.
Be very, very difficult. As I said, is it Friday night's game, the Storm versus the Sharks?
Saturday,
massive game of football. Didn't see a lot of the Panthers and Titans game. Got home for all the second half, Jim. Missed the first half, 14-0, halftime Panthers. Second half of Titans just edged their way back into the game, 14-0. Matt Mullen as cool as a cucumber. Got one opportunity, nailed it. Panthers now secure their top eight position. They'll play in September. The Titans are virtually there, but they still need to get that win next week.
Talking to someone on the Fox Sports crew, they said, "Oh, Matt Moylan overrated," and I said, "No, no disclosure of names." One of the boys there, and the try that he scored. I know Joel Cain likes to call. He's the closer, isn't he? When the game is on the line, he's done it with a pass, with a kick.
And for a young man, he makes very few mistakes. And in those crunch times, you want him in position. Jimmy, a couple of instances out of the games last night.
Yeah, you bring up good points.
Yeah, I thought the incident in the Penrith game, it really got me angry. I was turned to Tanya and said, "That's just plain wrong." That's when Regan Campbell-Gillard was effectively held. Two players, one above, one below, had him. He was stationary. He'd stopped. Referee could have called held at any time.
Mm.
Ryan James, like an Exocet missile, come in the midriff and just cleaned him up. He got up to play the ball, but he got up and he was very, very ginger. He's a tough man.
He is.
And the subsequent turn, he's got a cracked disc or something. He's out of the finals.
He's been a very good player for the Panthers.
Massive
too,
loss,
hasn't he?
Campbell Gillard.
Yeah, yeah.
Out of the finals, which I think he was effectively held. And then you out at Shark Park, very similar incident to Ben Barber.
Yeah, Kane Evans was the defender on that occasion.
He actually got up, but he was okay. But
he
again,
got a smiling, Benny.
Yeah, but again, same thing, Jimmy. When is a player effectively held? And that is the players defenceless there. They get absolutely hammered there. In both those instances, Campbell Gillard and Barber were effectively held. They should have been told to play the ball.
It's a very good point that you make. It's not an illegal act, what they're doing at the moment. At the moment, you know, the hit from Kane Evans last night on Ben Barber was not an illegal act. But the question is it in the spirit of the game?
Exactly the same as Ryan James. Not an illegal act, but is it in the spirit of the game? Given that player is defenceless, it's not moving, it's stationary, and it's effectively held.
So do the lawmakers need to have a look at that
Absolutely.
One? Remember, they did it for the cannonball, anything below the knee?
Yep.
They said, no, you can't do the cannonball below the knee. Well, you know, the way Ben Barber was exposed last night, if they came out of that and said, oh, he's cracked some ribs or he's got kidney damage,
exactly,
or anything, you'd say,
to
you. I totally understand it. It's a good point. We'll take your thoughts on it. 13:53:53. Racing yesterday was at Rose Hill, and there's some stars starting to come back. And I don't know, Raymond, this horse Astern, I just looked at Star Turner and I thought, oh, look how well this thing's travelling. And then bang, goes Astern.
I know it's easy in hindsight, but they say jockeys are bad judges, but James McDonald wanted to ride only Astern of the Godolphin 4, and he got it very, very right, didn't he? An impressive win. They gapped the rest, Jimmy, put 3.5 lengths on the third horse, which was Impending, who ran a really good race. Star Turn, not a certainty to go to the Golden Rose, but the way he ran out the 1,200 yesterday, I think he'll run the 14 okay.
Is it the distance the issue for the Hawke stable?
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's
right.
He's built and bred to be a sprinter, and he's a very, very good one. Whether he can stretch that to 1,400 is the key. But the way he fought back under pressure, I thought, was indicative of a horse who can get at least 1,400. The other three I would have mentioned earlier, Jimmy, Evacuation, only his second start, does a lot wrong. It didn't have the easiest of runs yesterday in a small field, but then when Kieran McAvoy pressed the button, the further that race went, the stronger he got. He was really impressive, and he's a horse going places. Gee, the three-year-old crop this season is outstanding.
Mm.
You think of the Sydney Colts in Melbourne so far. Peter Stone took Russian Revolution down earlier this month when the Vane Stakes.
Win, yeah.
Yesterday, he sent down Defcon, who won the Black Opal last season. What a ride Dwayne Dunn. Hugged the fence, got right through on the inside to win the McNeil Stakes. Defcon will probably stay down there and go through to the Caulfield Guineas. We'll ask James Harran that a little bit later, but the three-year-old crop, I think, is exceptional. And the first Group 1 of the new season at Caulfield yesterday. And Darren Weir, Blackheart Bart, a dominant winner, and heading possibly towards a Cox Plate, Blackheart Bart.
Got to make mention of a couple of wins from connections, for personal connections for me. Well done to the owners and all involved in Highly Geared. A friend of mine's a part owner in Highly Geared, for Gary Kirkup.
Gary Kirkup,
Gary Kirkup used to be the trainer at...
For Transmedia, Mike Lewis.
Yeah.
When I first started in Sydney, he won a Civic Stakes way back in 1990 with a mare called Ice Cream Sunday, and Gary and I were reminiscing about it yesterday.
Yeah,
I can remember it like it was yesterday. And he told me when Mike Lewis dispersed his racing and breeding interests, most of his horses went, so he's had to slowly rebuild his stable.
What's he got, 12 in Canberra, has
about
he?
About 12 in
Canberra.
10 or 12
in Canberra.
Very good horseman.
Right.
Very
and the
horseman.
Other one is Sir Bacchus.
You got friends in that too,
Brad's
yeah.
Brad Spearing down on at Geringong.
He's a good horse, too.
And they're worried about, they're just looking at the skies all week because of that rain that was around, and heavy 9 and then heavy 8, and they thought, could be a problem. But the Punters Club got on that one.
Did James Smith get on?
Oh, we were cheering James Savakis.
Great ride for you, Bayman, too.
Yeah, well done on that one. 13:53:53 is the open line number. Just before we do go to our first break, and then you're going to release our talk topic, Raymond, Steve Smith returns home
from
the Sri Lanka. Thoughts?
Steve Smith's been fantastic for Australian cricket over the last, 2 to 3 years, been far and away our best batsman and best player.
Yes.
Most inspirational player. Look, I know that the Test Series was lost 3-0, but again, he'd already had a couple of good innings in the one dayers. You don't see players come home early from IPLs, Jim. I don't understand why a captain comes home early from a tour which is almost over.
Well, the question is, from my mind, I look at that and say, okay, you can't rest him in the Australian summer. Mm. We understand that. Surely this was on the radar. Surely this hasn't just, they haven't just woken up one day and gone, oh, you're a bit sore? Okay, we'll
Why
send you home.
Why not send him home after Test Series?
Exactly. Mm. There seemed to be a better way. It would have been planned 6 months in advance.
Yep.
You've got all these series coming up, big, important series, test matches against India, home test matches, and then test matches against India, and then Champions Trophy and all that sort of thing. Should that have been communicated better?
Absolutely, yeah. It just doesn't seem right.
It looked like he was going, oh, I'm out of here. Enough of this.
And I doubt that. That's not in Steve Smith's makeup, and I doubt that was the case. I think what you're saying is 100% right, Jim, but the way it was handled was poor. Not a good look for Australian cricket fans, but let's hope that Steve Smith finds that best form of a difficult summer coming up, Jim.
You know what we should do? We should get one of these Australian selectors on the phone. Oh, we will, a little bit later on. Mark Edward Walks. There you go. Dual role this morning, Mark. 1353 53 is the open line number.
Might answer the phone. Yeah,
that's a good point. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more.
Midweek racing is fully covered on Sky Sports Radio. This Wednesday from 9:30, get your Sydney preview lowdown with form analysts Paul Joyce and Ray Thomas, plus the latest tab markets. Racing HQ, every Wednesday on Sky Sports Radio.
Get a 10% Bingley gift card with any 4K UHD TV from Samsung, LG, Sony or Hisense. Yes, a 10% Bingley gift card with 4K UHD TVs. Here's the deal. Buy a TV with around 8 million tiny dots called pixels on the screen. The tech guys call it 4K UHD, ultra high definition, and get a 10% gift card when you buy one at Bingley. For a limited time only, terms and conditions apply. See bingley.com.au for details.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mongoa Road, Penrith.
The boys from Penrith Mazda, get out there. Acres and acres of Mazdas. It's fantastic. 1353 53 is the open line number. We're going to get to callers very shortly, but our talk topic for today, Raymond, is those people. I'll tell you what happened. I went down to Amy Park on Friday.
When you go
into these corporate, you have to go in a corporate box because of the two broadcasters. So you call out of a corporate box. There was a photo of Dave Grohl up there performing at Amy Park, and I thought, Dave Grohl, wow. He's a guy that, you know, you're very lucky if you've been in one, you know, great band.
Yep.
He's been in two. The Foo Fighters and Nirvana. And I thought, oh, wow, you know, that's so... And so we had a bit of a chat about who are the great musicians that have been in two great bands. So we thought, well, why don't we talk about the sports person that's been in two great teams? Or maybe two great eras.
Example of?
Oh, well, Ron Coote. The great Ron Coote played in multiple premiership winning sides, I think four, with the South Sydney Rabbitohs. And then transferred over to the Sydney Roosters and played in another superstar side in 74 and 75.
Great player, great man. What about Sonny Bill, modern equivalent? Oh. He's played in everything, Jim.
Sonny Bill Williams, premiership with the Bulldogs.
And the Roosters.
Premiership with the Roosters.
All Blacks.
Two World Cups with the All Blacks. And a super, whatever it was at the time, Super 15, I believe, with the Highlanders. So... that's some sort of record as well.
Oh, phenomenal.
So we're looking for our athletes that have been in two great teams.
Okay.
Two great teams. There's a big one out there.
Which I actually mentioned earlier.
Oh, hang on. You're right, mate. We'll just jump in on that. It's a team here. What are you talking about? All right, let's go to call us now. 1353 53. Rod's on the line. Hello, Rod.
Jimmy.
You're back, Rod. You're back.
We're back, baby. Guitar's back. And I'm back with my shark attack. Watch the sharks and go score again. How you going, guys?
Wow, this looks outstanding.
Keep going, Rod.
Hey, listen, Jimmy. Interesting game next Saturday night when you think about it in the context of it. Really doesn't mean nothing to Melbourne except a minor premiership which they already have. They play on Saturday night.
Yes.
They play on the Sunday. It doesn't matter if Melbourne lose because they're top two. I think Cronulla are going to be a bit more hungry because if they happen to lose next weekend, they can go from second or first to third.
That's a good point. That is a good point. And the other thing about it is, it's like $100,000 if you win the minor premiership. It's hardly worth bending over. Yeah. In saying that, you know, are they going to rest Cooper Cronk? Are they going to rest Cameron Smith? No way.
No, they can't now.
No,
they would have. They would have. If they had a one on Friday night, they would have. They would have made next week's games irrelevant.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know about that.
Funny thinking that way. That TV runs the game, and in its own. I spoke to someone yesterday at the local footy that Cronulla will win last night because after Friday night's game. Fox Sports definitely want to have, and the media definitely want to have this game trumped up all week.
Conspiracy theories. Rod, what were you thinking?
I hope the bloke you spoke to at the local footy game yesterday, you put him straight back into his place as soon as he mentioned that.
Oh, couldn't he? He's right.
Hey, Rod, what were you thinking at 12-0?
Well, I wasn't worried, because like Jim said before, I was impressed last week in the Sharks against South because they showed a lot more energy in the defence, yep. And they showed that again last night.
Yep.
As you said, Jimmy, they went back playing through the middle.
Yeah.
Gallen was back, Rod, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's when they played their best football. Mm. I think what people tend to forget is teams like Canberra, that they're playing good footy when it's a bit colder, as it gets a bit warmer, I can definitely see their big forward pack struggling in the more mobile forward pack in the warmer weather. Acker, Broncos can be included in that. They can have do a bit of damage. Same as the Cowboys, they're very mobile. Where Storm and Canberra are a bit cumbersome, and Bulldog as well.
I'm not sure.
100% with you.
I know what he's talking about.
that might be right too. But at this point, the Raiders have got the 2 o'clock game next week. That's against the West Tigers. That's at Leichhardt. Mm. And then from that point on, I've got a feeling that if the Broncos finish fifth or sixth, that Suncorp game is going to have to be not the Saturday night, but the Sunday, because of a double booking
with
the Rugby Championship.
Okay.
So as a result of that, it's going to be a little bit different, not as per usual, and the reason is that around venue availability. So 53-53.
So let's clear that up. So if the Sharks beat the Storm next Saturday night,
yes,
they go top, but both those teams get home finals.
That's correct. If the Sharks lose... The Sharks don't get it at SCG Stadium. Yeah. They get it at Allianz Stadium.
If the Sharks lose, then they could slip to third.
Yes. Mm. Yes, that's exactly right.
So Rod raised some good points here, but minor...
Rod raised a ridiculous point, Rod. Grab the guitar and try and sing your way through Fox Sports organised for this to be a big game next Saturday. If you can work that one out...
Jimmy, the Broncos are on the march. So yes. Let's see what Jeff thinks about his Broncos. Jeff, good morning.
G'day, Raymond. Jimmy.
How are you, Jeff?
How are you? Yeah, I'm good. What's the topic today?
Players who've been in two great sides.
Can I nominate Jimmy? He's been in three, hasn't he?
go on.
Salford.
Hey, we ran a very creditable ninth that year.
I want to talk about a couple of things. I remember a little while ago, Peter Peters. Is he on medication?
Come on, Jeff. Be nice.
No, I am. I'm serious.
All right, well,
did he say that Darius Boyd wasn't in the top six fullbacks of the competition?
No, he didn't say that.
What did he say, Jimmy?
He's top eight.
He's had a form surge since, though, Jeff. We can say that.
Hey, have a look at his record. He's been the catalyst for them.
He's been fantastic, hasn't he?
He gets them on the way he runs and gets them on the front foot. Mm. Amazing. Mm. Absolutely amazing. I mean, I'm a Dragons supporter, as you know, Raymond. Mm-hmm. But the way they're playing, if any side's going to win it out of the top four, outside the top five, I think they can do it.
Oh.
It's tough.
I really, it is tough, but it's a wide-open competition. I mean, Cronulla, mate, the demons must be going through there. Mm. It's this time of the year where they start having nightmares.
Well, it's going to happen one year, isn't it, Jeff? A team's going to come from the bottom half of the eight 1 year and win it.
Are you sure?
Well, it's going to happen.
Are you sure?
Well, surely it'll happen 1 year. Whether it happens this year, I don't know.
It doesn't allow itself for it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because you've got to play those four hard games.
You can never say never.
From home. I agree.
Never
I understand
say never.
That. No one could ever win the grand final from fourth or fifth spot, remember?
Correct.
The Canberra Raiders did it in 1989. So, history is there to be made. In saying that, I think now with the Cowboys back in the top four, I think, it puts them just shaded below the Storm. Then I think there's a gap to the Sharks and the Raiders and the Broncos.
The Cowboys, they got the Titans at home
Saturday
next week.
They don't lose at home.
Yeah, they shouldn't lose. Titans got a lot to play for, though.
Yeah, so too do the Cowboys.
That's true, top four positions. Yeah. So it's just some crunch games next weekend, isn't it?
There's some massive games next week. I tell you what, you start looking at the game today, the Warriors up against the Tigers. Mm. That's a vital game as well, because the loser's out. It's like the elimination. And then the winner, the Warriors, I mean, the Tigers have got a game at Leichhardt, but it's against the Raiders, so they've been playing well.
Mm.
But the Warriors have the opportunity, if they win today against the Tigers, and then they win next week, and they've got Parramatta at home,
they can leapfrog the Titans. I don't expect the Titans to beat the Cowboys. And so the Jared Hayne fairy tale is out.
Yeah. Couple of quick ones, Jimmy. Your talk topic's going gangbusters.
Yeah.
Say no more, boys. Lazo. Glenn Lazarus. Raiders, Broncos, Storm. That's from Dale. Very well
Dale,
done.
Dale, that's the one. That that's was Raymond's.
One. Here's one from, cheers from Seagull Sam. I've got to concede. Can any team right now in the sporting world beat the mighty All Blacks? They are a phenomenon.
Oh, the New York Yankees might beat them in baseball, but that's about it. Mm.
This one from Mick. Ray and Jimmy, it's about time Steve Smith toughens up. Oh. Some of these guys need to get a real job for a full week and see what tough really means. Imagine if we went home from work every day when things got hard. Part of being a good leader is staying strong through the bad times.
We'll get to that, Mick. Yeah. We'll get to that point. 6:30, time for the news.
Won the Northern Territory election, with Chief Minister Adam Giles blaming disunity in his party for what he calls an electoral thumping. The Chief Minister conceded defeat shortly before nine last night at a Country Liberals Party event in Alice Springs and rang Labor leader Michael Gunner to congratulate him. But Mr Giles says it's not the end of the party.
Now, the party's strong, it's got great members. We just need to get some discipline and some of those things into play there. But that'll occur, it won't take long. There'll be a bit of pain up front. I mean, that's what always occurs in these instances. That we're not the first political party to lose. We're not the first political party to lose in a landslide. And we won't be the last political party to come back and form government sometime in the future.
Meantime, Michael Gunner says he's ready for a new style of government.
The trust bestowed to us is by no means a right. It is not a right. We have a precious duty that we must honour in public service. That's what we must do, by setting high standards. We have to be community leaders. And I personally pledge to all of you, I will work tirelessly. I will work truthfully, and I will work selflessly for Territorians.
Hostel stabbing victim Tom Jackson remains on life support in the intensive care unit in a far north Queensland hospital. A Townsville hospital spokesman says Jackson's condition hasn't changed since he was admitted after a frenzied stabbing attack at a backpackers hostel late on Tuesday night. The 30-year-old was attacked at a hostel at Home Hill, about 100 kilometres south of Townsville, while trying to assist and protect fellow Brit Mia Aleuf Chung, who was stabbed to death. Tom suffered multiple wounds to his head and torso. His father, Les, who arrived from the UK on Thursday night, has spent the best part of his time in Australia at the bedside of his hero son. A major emergency role-play exercise will be held in Sydney's CBD to test the city's capacity to deal with any future incidents. More than 700 emergency service personnel are set to take part in the exercise today, including members of the public who will role-play family and friends of the victims in the purported incident. Quirky coming-of-age film Girl Asleep has won the richest prize in Australian film, beating the home favourite Jasper Jones at the Cinefest Oz Festival in Western Australia. Directed by Rosemary Myers and written by Matthew Whittet, Girl Asleep was chosen over three other finalists to win the $100,000 prize. Italy's President Sergio Mattarella attended a mass funeral in central Italy on a day of national mourning for the victims of Wednesday's earthquake. The BBC's Lucy Gray has more.
The coffins have got flowers on top of them and photographs of the people who lost their lives. There's two small white coffins for children, and they've got the photographs of these two little girls who lost their lives in Pescara del Tronto on Wednesday morning when this terrible earthquake struck. That village of Pescara del Tronto is totally devastated. There isn't one single house still intact there. It's been such a traumatic period for the people of that village.
There'll be more funerals in the coming days, including the capital, Rome. This is Air News. The All Blacks has retained the Bledisloe Cup for a 14th straight year with a 29-9 win in the second rugby test. New Zealand captain Kieran Reid says Australia worked hard, but it was their night. Wallabies halfback Will Genya has told Fox Sports they let another one slip away.
It's disappointing, you know, because it's two opportunities to play the best side in the world and come away with something. But as I said, we've come up short again.
In front of a crowd of over 18,000 on the Gold Coast, Penrith's Matt Moylan kicked a match-winning field goal 2 minutes from full-time to give the Panthers a 15-14 victory over the Titans and a berth in the NRL finals. There were also wins yesterday for the Cronulla Sharks, beating the Roosters 37-12, and the Canberra Raiders had a 44-30 win over Manly. In AFL, Geelong had an impressive win over Melbourne, destroying Melbourne by 111 points in Paul Roux's last game as coach. Geelong now has 7 straight wins, with their latest success locking in a qualifying final at the MCG in the first week of the finals. In other results, the Bombers beat the Blues by 24 points. The Swans claimed the AFL Minor Premiership, taking down the Tigers by 113 points. The Gold Coast lost to Port Adelaide, and GWS has secured a top four position after a 37-point win over North Melbourne. Australian Independent Radio News.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sunny in the Sydney area today. Patches of fog in the outer west early this morning and a light morning frost. Winds westerly 15 to 20 kilometres an hour, becoming light in the early afternoon. A maximum in Sydney town of 20 degrees, and I think we've talked about Eastwood and Eden, is
you
that
did.
Right?
Thank well you, done, Raven. Jimmy, on the ball, concentrating hard. Eastwood, ditto, Sydney, lovely day coming up, mostly sunny and 20 degrees. Down at Eden,
yes.
Jimmy, right down near the border. Yeah. Lovely little part of the world. Right now it's only 7 degrees, a little bit cloudy today, but warming up to 19.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mongoa Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to Big Sports Breakfast Weekend as Jimmy dances away to the...
Wasn't he? That was drumming.
Or drumming away.
Yeah.
Jimmy, great day yesterday at Rose Hill, really staying warm. Next week, Winks runs again in the Chelmsley. Just put your spring calendars down to each date that Winks runs, don't you? Just Winks this
week.
It's
a little bit like that,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, but the quality of the racing yesterday, excellent. The three-year-old crop, as I mentioned earlier, really starting to exert themselves here. We saw a very nice horse yesterday called Evacuation. First up at 1,400 metres on a heavy track. Didn't have the easiest of runs, but it was a pretty easy win in the end.
Bowman sits quietly on Coco Excel. McAvoy feels for the favourite Evacuation, and there's a very good response as Evacuation races to the front. Pipeline under the whip sticks on. Coco Excel needs to lift. Then came Savannah and Tumultuous. Evacuation in front. Pipeline's the danger. Evacuation a length in front of Pipeline. Oh, he sprints away now, Evacuation. First up over the 7 furlongs, and he's been very strong. Evacuation. Savannah out, plug Pipeline for second. Tumultuous fourth, and Coco Excel.
So the one win at Kembla Grange, tipped out, brought back, and probably still a few race manners to learn.
Yep, absolutely.
Which means there's a lot of upside there for Evacuation.
It just looks a good horse,
Jim. And now going to the Caulfield Guineas, and into favouritism for that?
Yeah, well, from $26 into $9, equal fate with Divine Profit, who'll run in the Golden Rose, and then also the Melbourne horse, Secret Elixir. He just looks a nice horse, Jim. He's built powerfully, he's strong, he's muscular, and... Like he's done 2 starts, 2 easy wins. He trials like a star, and he looks like a star.
Because he only won by a half head, didn't he, in Kembla?
Oh, no, won by margin, yeah.
Did he win by margin?
The impressive part, Jimmy, is that people like Kieran McAvoy ride this horse and say, look, he's got a future. Good thing about him, Jim, is that Gay Waterhouse isn't going to be tempted. Gay Waterhouse and Adrian, but we'll ask Adrian shortly. They're not going to be tempted to try and go to the Golden Rose. Their plan is to concentrate on the Caulfield Guineas. So he'll go to Melbourne now and follow a similar path that Piero followed a few years ago. Piero won on this day as well back in 2012. He won the run to the Rose, then went straight to Melbourne. So Evacuation, very, very good. We'll throw forward now to the run to the Rose, the feature race at Rose Hill yesterday. 2 really nice horses here. Astern, fantastic first up. Star Turn lost no admirers in his narrow loss.
Round the turn, El Divino is just the leader from Star Turn, who cruises up on the outside. Then Nikita Manolo Blanik. Astern is hunting through on the fence, and Impending's going through. Star Turn just in front, going up the inside as Astern. The race is on now, and Astern hits the lead from Star Turn. It's Astern, the inside from Star Turn. Astern just in front. Wins the run to the Rose. Great finish. Wanted a head to Star Turn. Impending third, followed by Elder.
Interesting to hear the comments of Tommy Berry, because it looked like Star Turn almost did it too easy to get to the front. And then
Star
sort
Turn,
of,
yes.
And then sort of started looking around, and then bang, up came on the inside of Stern. And you made the mention of James McDonald picking the right ride from Godolphin's stable, and we'll ask John O'Shea about that. $26 for the Golden Rose prior to that performance, into $4.60.
Favourite, yeah. I guess what we should remember, Jimmy, these are only young horses, quite inexperienced, only had a handful of starts, so they're only going to continue to improve. So Astern should be even fitter. Star Turn, as you said, sort of looked around a bit. Mm. Will only get better.
Blinkers?
It's a possibility, yeah. Like, he still tried very hard when he realised Astern had got past him. He put his head down and came back after him, so...
The other one, El Divino. What did we make of El Divino's performance?
I thought really good run, yeah. Okay. And a significant Hugh Bowman after the race was talking that cold up. And,
right.
And the Gay Waterhouse line, I like that line too. He wasn't beaten far, and this is not this colt's grand final.
Right.
So there's significant improvement in him as well. As I said, Jimmy, they're just a really good bunch of three-year-olds this season, and... they're exciting times ahead for some of these. The other big race yesterday at Rose Hill was the Premier's Cup, and look, I was all over singing, Jim. I thought it was home. Was having a terrific battle with Magic Hurricane. The favourite Allergic couldn't get out, and then down the outside came Sense of Occasion.
Found the turn, Loud Debate in front from Loophole singing. Allergic's looking to work into the clear. Sense of Occasion's not giving it much room as singing races to the front. Narrowly, Magic Hurricane gets through, so does Soften on the Rails. Allergic still in a pocket. He'll need a helicopter to get out. Singing in front, Magic Hurricane up the inside. Singing and Magic Hurricane. Singing just in front, Magic Hurricane. Sense of Occasion, the outside swooping. And Sense of Occasion blast the pair of them out. Sense of Occasion got up to beat Singing and Magic Hurricane. Song and
doesn't bring him to town for fun, does he, Chris Lees? Got the Quinella in that one too. So Sense of Occasion now. What's the path forward for Sense of Occasion?
I think he'll head towards the Newcastle Cup with him. Good wet tracker. I don't think Sense of Occasion, not being disrespectful, can beat Singing Magic Hurricane or Allergic again unless he gets conditions to suit. I think Singing second up in Australia here after a year off. He's progressing the right way, Jim, as is Magic Hurricane, who won the Metrop last year, and he's right on track for it again. And Allergic, you've just got to give him another chance. He never got a clear crack at the leaders at any stage in the straight, Jim. Godolphin ended the day with a double. John O'Shea led in Chetwood in the last. I wanted to replay this to you, Jimmy, because I don't think you've actually had a chance to see this horse win.
No.
He's an excitement machine. He goes a million miles an hour. Gets them off the bit chasing, and they can't get near him.
The turn, and Chetwood coming to the wider part of the course. He leads out by a length and a half to Kanachi. Canny Essence six lengths away. Wareshore ditto on the rails. Chetwood's full of running at the 250 from Kanachi in second. Canny Essence too far back. Chetwood going well from Kanachi. Then Awesome Sam and Wareshore, but Chetwood's well clear in the last from Kanachi holding second. Awesome Sam to third, but Chetwood, a bold front running ride by McDonald, and it absolutely bolts up in the last from Kanachi and Awesome Sam. Then Wareshore.
Good day for Godolphin. Good day for James McDonald there with that win of Chetwood.
Really good horse, Jim.
You're wrapped in Chetwood, aren't
you?
Oh,
I love him. Yeah. And I love seeing sprinters like do what he does and just goes out. You think, well, he's going to get tired. He doesn't. He just keeps going. And they're off the bit chasing him a long way out. And, oh, he's exciting to watch. Jim, some big races at Caulfield. As mentioned, the Group 1 races are back. But DEFCON in the McNeil Stakes. Dwayne Dunn, earlier in the week, was given the Scobie Breasley Medal for most outstanding performer in Victorian racing last season. Well, he needed to produce that sort of form on DEFCON, who was back in an awkward spot. Fantastic ride, and the Sydney colt rose to the occasion in the McNeil Stakes.
And then came DEFCON and Hardham as they swing into the straight. And I'm Too Hot, the leader. Blue Tycoon, the first on the scene from Awaken Grinzing. Highland Beat still there to challenge, and DEFCON's got right up on the inside. He's squeezing right through along the rails. Here's Wasn't Me letting down right down the outside as well. Wasn't Me racing up to tackle Highland Beat, and DEFCON on the inside. Three across the track. DEFCON took the shortcuts and one for Dwayne Dunn by a length and a quarter to either Highland Beat or Wasn't Me ahead of Seabird.
Peter and Paul Snowden there, a winner for them. Now, going the opposite way, first time, no problem.
Yeah, and just a terrific effort. But carrying the big weight as well, all-class DEFCON. He wasn't as sharp as a horse like Capitalist last season, but he won a Black Opal, looked really good, and he's come back in fantastic order. And again, Peter Snowden's taken one of his good three-year-olds to Melbourne and cleaned up.
Did I see the Manicato could feature?
Yeah, it's probably more for Capitalist, I think.
Right.
Yeah, but we'll ask James Herring. We'll get him one shortly. Very nice horse. The first Group 1 of the new season, Jimmy, was the Memsey Stakes. Charmed Harmony went out at a million miles an hour. That favourite Black Heart Bart sat back, cruised.
Go to the Bart.
and he was too good.
Fielders well strung out around the home turn. Charmed Harmony led by two lengths. Tasby Mahu to the rail and then Rising Romance. Now Rawilla hasn't yet gone for the favourite. He peels to the outside now on Blackheart Bart. He's got four lengths to make up. The leaders are coming back. Charmed Harmony, Tasby Mahu, Rising Romance coming at them. Blackheart Bart, now he's starting to really wind up. And inside the 200, the favourite took the lead. Blackheart Bart drew nearly a length in front of Rising Romance and Mahu on the rail. But Blackheart Bart is too good. Blackheart Bart by a length and a half, Rising Romance. Mahuta, two lengths away, third, just in front of Tasby.
Another one for the punters club there. A little bit short, starting to get a little bit short.
Good day yesterday,
three bets, two winners. And it never looked in trouble. He just did it so comfortably, Blackheart Bart. So what's going to be his grand final?
He's heading towards the Cox Plate. Yeah.
Wow.
So he was a dominant first up in that weight for age race, and he'll just be following that weight for age path through. Okay. Another one for Darren Weir, Jimmy.
Prince of Penzance back.
It was a nice enough run. Beaten a fair way, but those leaders did string that field right out.
Yeah.
So he's a stay. He just couldn't keep up, basically. But look, all honours to Blackheart Bart. He was far too good. Jimmy, yesterday at Newcastle's Beaumont track, a horse having its first start just quickly by name of Power Law, put it in your little black book.
Okay, I've got a big black book.
Okay, yeah. James Cummings trains and could be heading towards the Victoria Derby.
Spelling?
Power Law, two words, L-A-W.
Power Law.
Yeah,
okay.
And she was impressive.
All right, there's one in the big buck book. So one for the listeners there as well. 1353 53 is the open line number. People wanting to have their say too about the talk topic. G'day boys, Glenn Lazarus played and led a couple of great teams. That's been mentioned from Dez this time around. Paul Gallen with New South Wales and the Sharks. Oops, got that one wrong. Don from Carlton. See, Don, this is where you really let yourself down. He does say, P.S., Steve Edge. Captain Premiership teams at the Dragons and the Eels.
The great Steve Edge.
Yeah,
good point.
That is a good one. That is
and
a good one.
Craig from Taree mentioned Brad Thorne.
Oh, well, stop the fight.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy.
He's a winner.
He's just unbelievable. So he wins Premierships with the Broncos, and he wins State of Origin Series, and then he goes away and he wins a Super 15 title with the Crusaders, and then he comes back and he plays with the Broncos again and with Queensland, and they win Premierships and State of Origin Series. Then he goes back to rugby, and he wins titles with the Crusaders again, and then he wins a World Cup with New Zealand in 2011. And then he goes over and he wins the Heineken Cup, and now he's playing in the NRC, the Bill Corp NRC, for the country.
Queensland side.
Yeah.
I really was making a comeback. So.
And he's 40 or 41.
He was always
Brad Thorne.
A very, very fit. Fit man, big, strong, tough man, and what a player, Jim.
Unbelievable. Played against him.
I better say, did you play against him?
Played against him.
Yeah.
I think I played in his debut game.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think there was a... But the forward pack, it was Webke, and this young guy, Brad Thorne, was making his debut. I was like, oh, thanks very much.
Here's a good one from Matt, actually, Jim. Hey, boys, searching your talk topic, I didn't realise how successful AB de Villiers has been as a sportsman. He's captain of the South Africa's junior rugby team. Has six national swimming records, the fastest 100-metre time by a South African junior. He's a member of the South African Junior Davis Cup team. He's won under-19 national badminton championships and a golf handicap of scratch. Is it anything that man can't do?
Oh, I think that national badminton team at the championship, I think they were very lucky to scrape through the semi-final.
Future secure
so you can't
badminton in South Africa.
All I'm saying is, you can't really say that he's been in the great sides, has he?
Oh, what a sportsman.
Just amazing.
All the King's Horses, the Bart Cummings story, is on DVD.
Everything was done the right way. It was done his way.
He had absolute faith in what he did.
He took horses to another level and made them champions.
Demanded excellence at every stage of the training process.
1-4 in the Melbourne Cup. That's as good as Bradman's batting average.
We commemorate the legacy of the Cup's King on the extended unseen DVD version with bonus features.
Winning life well lived on a betting ticket.
Available from August 18th.
This truly magical thoroughbred Able Friend going to win the Champions Bowl in an absolute hand canter. That's the world's best.
Hong Kong,
Singapore,
Japan, Korea.
The best of Asian racing.
Live and exclusive to Sky Racing.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mount Goa Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray. Jimmy, we mentioned earlier that three-year-old by the name of Evacuation. I think he's a horse really going places. And his sailmate El Divino ran a good fourth and a very strong run to the Rose. And their co-trainer, first time on our show, I think, Jimmy, been good enough to join us, Adrian Botts, up bright and early this morning. Adrian, good morning, and thanks for joining us on a Sunday.
Good morning, Ray. Good morning, Jimmy.
Appreciate you joining us. We looked at this horse Evacuation and say, wow, I think Gay's words were, he's big, strong, and he's very good. How good can he be? Because he's still got a bit to learn by the looks of it, Adrian.
Yeah, he was quite raw yesterday. And look, that was, I guess, the reasoning behind sort of kicking him off in an easier sort of race, just trying to, I guess, take him to his grades to an extent and just give him that race experience before throwing him straight in the deep end. But obviously, he's a horse that we think a lot of and got a very high opinion of, and he's always shown exceptional talent from day one. So we're just trying to be a little bit patient with him to an extent. I think the Golden Rose will probably obviously come up a little bit too quickly with him. So we've always earmarked the Caulfield Guineas as a potential target for him. And he's, as Gay said, he's such a big, strong individual. He's got such natural cruising speed, but he's always given us the indication that he'd be a much better over a trip, you know, a great miler, and maybe even a bit further. So there was no hesitation from Gay to kick him off in over 1400 first up.
Yeah, that's the key, isn't it? Just what his distance range, I think, Adrian, it's so exciting. And what I loved about this horse yesterday, he showed it now in both his runs. He's got that ability to absorb pressure, hasn't he, Adrian? Because he didn't have the easiest of runs, and he was just being niggled out coming to the turn. But the longer that race went, the stronger he got.
Yeah, and it's the same as his first up race over 1,000 metres. He can, as I said, he can cruise at that high speed. He can, as you said, absorb all that pressure, and then to be able to quicken and accelerate off a speed like that, it's an exceptional ability, and it's what sort of makes him so good. So that'll be a huge asset to him going forward.
Mm. What about the state of the track yesterday? A heavy eight. Were there concerns about how he might travel in that? Has he had experience in that previously?
Look, the breeding, it always gives you confidence more than ready seem to excel through the going. His latest trial was on quite heavy going on the steeple there, and Kieran said, rode in that day as well, and just said he just excelled in it.
Right.
He skipped across the top. So we had absolutely no concerns with the going, what's the weather, you know, as far as we were concerned, the heavier the better. Mind us. But he's also, also proven on top of the ground. So we weren't concerned at all.
Adrian, another big race yesterday, the run to the Rose. You had the three-year-old El Divino, two starts, two wins, Winx's half-brother, very high-profile colt. He's run fourth, but I think if you can run fourth and be happy, you went home from Rosehill yesterday thinking, well, so much upside here, fourth's pretty good in that field.
Yeah, definitely. We went home very happy. A very credible performance, and he didn't lose any admirers from our camp, that's for sure. I don't know if you saw him parading the mounting yard. He's a lovely, big, strong colt. You know, there's plenty of him, so there's absolutely no doubt that run will bring him on and sort of set him up nicely for the rest of his campaign. So we were very happy, and as you said, the quality of that field was was very strong, and he ran very well.
Adrian, how's the relationship going with the First Lady of Racing?
She's absolutely incredible, incredible to work with and be associated with. So I'm in a very fortunate position.
You had a strong history with the stable for a long time, haven't you?
I've always had a connection to the extent, but obviously never as close to sort of what it is now.
Sure.
And obviously through the last 4 years. But, yeah, there's always been a connection to an extent.
Adrian, you're a relatively young man. The pressure of now training as a co-partner with one of the all-time greats, do you ever sit back and think about that? Is there a pressure there?
I guess everything's just, quite full-on in the day-to-day roles and responsibilities. You never get a huge amount of time to stop and reflect and let it all sink in.
You can't in racing, can you, Adrian? There's no time.
Exactly. you can't sit back and sort of think back on it too much. We're always sort of looking forward and moving forward. And look, as I said, the day-to-day responsibilities are relatively the same. But if you were to say, is there any pressure surrounding it? Well, look, obviously the name Gay Waterhouse and the history of the stable, it's got an incredible record and amount of history there, so that certainly would be I guess, an expectation to help see that that level of success carry through, and that's what we're committed to doing.
Yeah, Adrian, when you joined Tullock Lodge, I think it was about 4 years ago now, did you have plans then to train?
Look, in the back of my mind, I always did, yes. And Gay sort of asked me that, and she got right. She said, "What are the plans? Where do you want to go?" And I sort of outlined her, sort of what my plans and thinkings were. But again, as always, sort of one step at a time, and always working with the opportunities. And I was, always committed to working with the stable and working forward. There was never, when I arrived, there was never a plan of, sort of moving on from here. I just wanted to sort of take each step and work the way through the stable. And as I said, Gay's always been incredible to work with, and she gives you a great amount of responsibility and importantly, a lot of confidence in everything that you do, right the way through. And she's been known for developing people and giving a lot of young people in particular great opportunities. And she pushes you to push yourself to the, exceed as much as you can. And as I said, it does give you a lot of confidence in all areas of work that you have to do.
Do you have to keep the exact same hours as Gay? I hope you got a lot of sleep in the bank then, Adrian.
Oh, yeah, so lucky got youth on the side, so I guess that's where, it's a lifestyle. And look, that's exactly sort of why we do it. We love the industry, we love the horses, and love the people involved. So it's sort of not necessarily the hours aren't always, even though it's work, it may not necessarily be counted that as such. But there's no doubt that they're long hours and it's very hard work, and some days are much better than others. But, results like yesterday and horses like Evacuation and El Divino, they're certainly what it's all about. And it makes those early mornings much easier, and certainly makes those race days much better.
Yeah, Adrian, just finally, with Evacuation following, I guess, the Piero path through to the Corfu Guineas via the Bill Start, what are the stable's plans for the Golden Rose? Will El Divino and Thronum be your two runners?
They'll be the two, yes. Thronum's race fit, and his run was also very credible last time. He stuck on very well, he's very game, and a few people may have just sort of counted him as a wet track specialist, but I think he ran very well the other day, and they ran a pretty strong tempo up front, they'll probably both just sitting duck late, but I thought he stuck on very well. He certainly didn't give in, and he's right in the Golden Rose.
Yep.
El Divino, as I said, he'll come on in leaps and bounds from that run, his first up run, and as I said, lovely big strong colt, so no doubt that'll help him tone up nicely and set him up well for the race. And I think the last 50 of the race is coming again. And even though he may look like a speed horse, given his pedigree, he may even stretch out a bit further. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him do better over 14, and you never know, maybe even stretch out to a bit more.
Exciting times ahead at Tullock Lodge.
Yeah. Adrian, I wouldn't be surprised if we had you on the program again in the not-too-distant future as well.
I hope so. It's a good sign that it means we're doing something
right. That's exactly right. Congratulations on yesterday. Really exciting with a number of horses in the stable, but Evacuation especially. And thanks again for your time, Adrian.
Anytime. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Adrian.
Adrian Bott, their co-trainer with the legendary Gay Waterhouse.
Very, very well, didn't he?
Yeah, excellent. No problem with that. Gee, the topics are lit up here. You didn't mention the test. Brad Thorne played for the Kangaroos, Jimmy. Mm. Lift your game. No, well, he didn't win a World Cup with them, so I brushed him out of the
Played for the Kangaroos.
He did play for the Kangaroos.
He's a good one. Lockie won a few games, boys. Jeezy won bloody everything. Club, state and country level. Just winner from Davo. Of course, the great Darren Lockyer.
Could you say that? Could you say he played in great Broncos, Queensland and Australian teams?
Oh, I guess you can. Does that count?
He could win games, couldn't he?
He's a great player.
Yeah, let's go to Doug. He's on the line. Hello, Doug.
G'day, Ray. G'day, Jimmy.
Morning, Doug.
How are you?
Terrific. Really well, mate.
I just want to talk about two questions. Matt Nolan, he just cooked that field goal for Penrith, and I was very, very happy. I won about $50, mate.
Oh, well done, Doug. He's very cool under pressure, isn't he, Matt Nolan?
Yeah.
You know, if you give him the ball, the chances are he's going to land it for you.
Yeah, and another thing I was going to say today is Coogee Wombats are playing against the All Blacks at Redfern today, Redfern Oval.
Okay, what is that? What competition is that?
Rugby league.
Yeah, so is it in the South comp? They're playing Wombats in the South comp. Yeah, is it semi-final stage yet, Doug?
I think it's a grand final.
Oh, grand final.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there you go.
A friend of mine's playing, and his name's Karen Bales.
Karen Bales, all right.
Well, good luck to the Coogee Wombats.
Good luck to the Wombats. Good luck to the All Blacks, too. Mm. The Redfern All Blacks. Good on you, Doug. Appreciate the call.
Good call.
Yeah, good call from Doug there. 1353 53, the open line number.
Here's one from Herb. Jimmy, if you were the Cowboys, would you rather run fifth and avoid Melbourne in week one and get the home semi against the team who runs eighth?
No, I would rather run fourth and take my chances of beating Melbourne in yeah, absolutely. Fair every enough. Single time. My thought on that, Herb. Well, and
not
of
a
course,
bad point, though, Herb.
Well, hey, that's the question. Would you rather finish second and play the Raiders then finish first and play the Cowboys?
Difficult one. Quick one. Instead of players, how about a coach? Jack Gibson.
Oh, yeah.
The great Jack Gibson.
The Roosters, 74-75, and the Eels, 81-82-83. News now. John O'Shea next.
Gillian Skinner is under renewed pressure after she failed to face a press conference to release report into the fatal oxygen mix-up at a Western Sydney hospital. A baby boy died and a newborn girl suffered suspected brain damage after they were mistakenly given nitrous oxide or laughing gas instead of oxygen at Bankstown Lidcombe Hospital in June and July this year. New South Wales Chief Health Officer Dr. Kerry Chance says a series of errors led to the death, incorrect installation of gas pipelines, flawed testing and governance failures. She says they should have done better.
I don't think any of us can put ourselves in the situation of the family and how we would feel. I hope that the report gives them some answers, and I think that may give them some answers that they desire.
Opposition leader Bill Shorten has congratulated Michael Gunner and Northern Territory Labor on what he says is an extraordinary victory. Mr. Shorten says Saturday's landslide election win is an outstanding result for the people of the Northern Territory after 4 years of scandal and controversy. He says it also sends a clear follow-up message after Labor members were elected to three of the Northern Territory's 4 federal representative positions. Mr. Shorten said in a statement, Territorians have rejected a government that focused on itself and voted for a government that will prioritise jobs, healthcare and education. Victorian police say a 14-year-old girl was caught driving her 20-year-old boyfriend's car because he was under the influence of drugs. Police say the pair was in the vehicle when it was pulled over in Morwell in Victoria's East on Friday afternoon. Police have impounded the car and the teen is expected to be charged on summons with traffic-related offences. A woman has been killed in a single vehicle crash in New South Wales Central West. Police say she was aged in her 60s. She was driving a Toyota Hilux, which left the Midwestern Highway 5 kilometres north of Cowra and slammed into a tree just after 10 last night. She died at the scene while her passenger, a man also believed to be in his 60s, was treated by paramedics before being taken to Orange Hospital with serious injuries. Overseas, and police in Bangladesh say they've shot dead a man suspected of planning the attack in Dhaka last month that killed more than 20 people. The BBC's Akbar Hussain reports.
Police raided a house in Narayanganj outside Dhaka in the early hours after receiving a tip-off. 2 other people are killed in the operation, along with Tamim Chaudhary, a Canadian Bangladeshi who returned to Bangladesh a few years ago. Police issued a reward for his capture in the weeks after the attack on the Holy Artisan Cafe. They said that not only had Chaudhary planned that outrage, he had also played a leading role in reorganization of a banned local jihadi group, Jamaatul Mujahideen Bangladesh. Police say this group is loyal to the so-called Islamic State.
Briefly, a number of civilians have been killed in a barrel bomb attack on a rebel-held district of Syria's Aleppo city, and Singapore has reported its first locally transmitted case of the Zika virus with 3 other suspect infections waiting to be confirmed. This is Air News. Sydney has claimed the AFL Minor Premiership after taking down Richmond 25-14-164 to 7-9-51 at the SCG. It was Sydney's 6th straight victory. Coach John Longmire says it's now time for the real challenge.
The reality is that season's now finished and the new season's about to begin. You know, hopefully we've got some confidence in the sort of football we like to play. In 10 days' time or wherever the new season starts, and we need to be sharp as possible and playing our best football.
In the other match last night, the Giants beat the Kangaroos by 37 points. Round 23 continues this afternoon. The Saints take on the Lions at Etihad Stadium. The Hawthorn Hawks play the Collingwood Magpies at the MCG, and it's the Dockers and Bulldogs at Domain Stadium. Canberra is looking to lock up its first top two finish since 1994 after beating Manly 44-30 at Brookvale Oval. The minor premiership is out of reach with the Raiders trailing Melbourne by 3 points with one game remaining, but they'll be looking to win their last match and hope for a last round Cronulla loss to ensure a home final. In other matches, the Panthers had a win over the Titans 15-14 and Cronulla has beaten Sydney. The Sharks will now play Melbourne next week to decide the minor premiership. And the Diamonds celebrated a 68-43 win over South Africa in their netball quad series opener. Australian Independent Radio News.
Big League Magazine is your must-have guide for every weekend of NRL. It's the only magazine carrying official NRL team lists, plus expert analysis, previews, statistics, feature stories on your favourite players, even a fantasy NRL guide. Big League, your most trusted source of rugby league info and the highest-selling rugby league publication in the country. On sale every Thursday in news agencies, supermarkets, and at every NRL game every week.
Hi Australia, this is my new album.
This is Pure and Simple, the brand new album from Dolly Parton. Featuring 12 new songs, recorded in classic Dolly Parton style. Plus, a bonus disc of Dolly's greatest hits. Keep it pure and simple with Dolly Parton and her new album, out now.
I hope you're gonna love it.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sydney weather, sunny today, areas of fog in the outer west early this morning, patches of light morning frost. Was a nippy start to the day, Jimmy, but becoming sunny, lovely day, about 20 degrees in Sydney. What about at Liverpool and up north at Lightning Ridge?
You throw me right off here, right, Liverpool is the maximum of 20 degrees.
Can't find Lightning Ridge.
Oh, I found that. You've got a different system to me. Anyway, it's currently 4 degrees at Lightning Ridge, but an expected maximum today... Oh, no, that's Tuesday. 19 degrees, I think.
This for history. The sisters are going to win gold together. The Olympic champions, world champions, world record holders, they defend their title.
Prince of Penzance from Max Dynamite. Prince of Penzance, it's history at Flemington. Michelle Payne. Prince of Penzance beat Max Dynamite.
Nelson gets the ball to Morgan. Morgan crosses the 20. Comes away to O'Neill.
On Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, Mulgoa Road, Penrith. Here's your hosts, Jimmy Smith and Ray Thomas.
Big hour planned coming up. John O'Shea, James Harran, Andy Pascalides from the World of Football. We'll chat with Zorba. We'll have our ZNZ Watch quiz. We've also got to tell people, we've got the gold class tickets, the double pass, courtesy of Event Cinemas Prakash and the team out there at Parramatta.
And some good CDs there.
You haven't given away a CD. Is everything okay, Raven?
We'll have to fire up. Yeah.
If you're not... You sure?
There's some good CDs here.
What is it? You're tired? Or...
No, we sort of got out of it.
We've had some good callers, some good SMS. You haven't given away any CDs courtesy of Sony Music.
You're having a go at me, aren't you?
Usually, handing out CDs willy-nilly. Someone sneezes on air. Oh, that great sneeze.
you can't say things like that.
It's a little bit like that. We're talking about the rugby league. Of course, there's some cracking games being played over the course of this weekend, and there are some huge games
next week
coming up as well. We're looking forward to them. We're also looking forward to the fact that Swannies, top of the table. Thanks very much. They'll get the home semi-final. That'll be against the West Coast. Is that right?
No chance. They could play GWS.
Oh, well, that would then go out to ANZ. ANZ.
Yeah.
So every home final is at the SCG.
Unless. GWS, yeah.
They play GWS.
Yeah. They could finish first and fourth, and it could be Hawthorn, Geelong, 2 and 3. So, and they have a week off, Jim.
Yeah, that's strange.
I don't understand. Momentum going into the finals, all of a sudden the whole competition stops for a week.
Well, I think it was one of the things the AFL Players Association pushed really strongly in their memorandum of understanding.
Don't think it'll be there next year.
And then I think most of the players go, well, why don't you give us a week off during the course of the year?
Exactly. Makes no sense.
And I saw a quote from Alistair Clarkson saying, well, the week off doesn't do you that much good when everyone else gets the week off as well.
Exactly.
You know, talking about a reward for good performance throughout the course of the season. Talking about good performances, there was one yesterday at Rose Hill, Roman. Or there's many yesterday.
Yeah, well, this one in particular, well, actually two in particular, Jim Astern and Chet Wood, both trained by John O'Shea. He's been good enough to join us bright and early. John, good morning. And firstly to Astern, very, very talented bunch of three-year-olds this season, it seems, and he's right up near the top of them.
Yeah, Ray's a good start to his spring campaign, and hopefully we can go forward from there, you know.
Yeah, James McDonald was the one that picked the ride. How much input, or you know, do you just assign him that ride, or how much do you talk to him about which horse that he wants to ride, John?
We have a bit of a feel, you know, within the team, and then obviously the last decision released with James, and but you know, on form. Going into the race, we were obviously very wary of the performance of Astern and of Star Turn. So that sort of two-year-old form in the slipper lead-ups, we felt was, you know, superior. So thought that he should go with Astern.
Hey, John, I know everyone asked this yesterday, but I guess the first question that comes to mind after the run of the Rose was the 1400, but his racing manners and particularly the way he tacked the line yesterday, I don't think 14's an issue at all going in Golden Rose.
No, I wouldn't think so, Ray. I mean, he's a very similar horse to Exit Sphere last year, and he was quite dominant at seven, so as long as he gets a gate where he can relax early, and as he did yesterday, I don't feel that seven should be a problem for us. We've just got to run faster than everyone else.
How much of a comfort is that? How good is it to know that you've done this before with a horse like Exosphere and you've got that experience, John?
Oh, look, it's nice for us, Jimmy, that we've got a pattern in place that, you know, lays a foundation, and we just sort of try to replicate that pattern going into those major races. We did get that bit right last year. We got a lot of other things wrong, but we did get the Golden Rose right, so hopefully we can get it right again.
They did put a margin on the rest of the field, John Astern and Star Turn, but the run of Impending was excellent, and I know you were pretty happy with the run of Tessera as well.
Yeah, we thought they, you know, as a group ran very well, Ray, and, you know, Impending is probably just lacks that little bit of seasoning, but I think now Brenton's had a ride on him, he probably endeavoured to ride him a little bit, a pair or two back. And Tessera was probably not as forward as the others, and I thought he was good late. Telperion had to make a bit of a swooping run, which we probably didn't want to do, and probably been better off if he'd come back a pair and cut up the rail. So, I thought they all had a bit of merit.
How many Golden Rose runners do you think you will have, John?
Look, that'll be a decision for Henry and Ferg and His Highness. So, but I would probably recommend we'd run three because I think they've all got legitimate chances, and the other thing is that we need to sort of continue on to season these horses as they head towards sort of other features throughout the spring.
John, I mentioned earlier Chetwood. I think he's such an exciting horse to watch. He's almost his own worst enemy in that he goes so hard, but in doing that, he gets everything chasing him off the bit a long way out, and he was terrific again yesterday.
Yeah, look, he does go. He's not sort of pulling badly, though, Ray. He's a galloper, you know, and the worst thing we could do is probably hold him up.
Yeah.
And he loves to just stride, and he's got that beautiful action when he gets in a rhythm. And when he gets out beyond 1,200, he can get in a lovely rhythm. We're really happy with him yesterday because we'd hope that, you know, that's how it would pan out for him, and it did. So he's an exciting horse. He's a horse that he doesn't hold a lot of condition, but he's strengthened up this time in, and hopefully we can get a couple more runs out of him. The problem is that every time he has a run, you know, it's a hard run.
Yeah.
So we're probably inclined to space his runs and give him a light prep.
And what would be his grand final, this preparation, if everything works well?
I think it's just about getting through his grades, Jim, and you know, we're probably going to step him up a little bit in grade this time. He can go up to Newcastle and run in their their race at the Cameron Handicap. And,
right.
You know, after that, we'll just keep ducking and weaving a bit, mate.
Mm. John, tough question. Would you prefer the Cowboys to finish fourth and maybe play the Storm week one or slip to fifth and get a home final?
I think we'd be happy enough to play the Storm, mate. We've had a good record against them, and just watching Cameron, them old bones there, like,
oh, yeah.
He's a dummy half in time, so.
He missed at one stage, yeah, and he got marched 10 metres by the ref as well.
Yeah,
so.
The ref. Yeah.
So, look, we've had a good record down here, and look, we're happy to meet any of the top four teams. I wouldn't think they'd be, apart from going to Brisbane and bashing each other up again, they'd be all good.
Well, they beat, you got to remember, they beat Melbourne down there in Melbourne last year.
That's right.
In the prelim final, which was such a huge win too, John. Just out of interest, obviously Thurston's a star there. Who else do you like watching from a Cowboys point of view?
Oh, Michael Morgan brings plenty to the table, and I'm a great Jack Granville fan.
Yeah,
he's a good player, isn't he?
He makes a difference when he goes on the field.
And, John, I know this time of year there's so much going on in your own backyard, but we get a chance to maybe catch up with the Cowboys at some stage during the final series?
Well, I went last year when they played Melbourne. In Melbourne, a good friend of mine, Peter Maher, who is formerly on the board of the Storm, is a great Storm supporter, so it's always good to sit next to Peter when we're confident of winning. And one of my sons is an avid Melbourne supporter, so we like to take him down. So we'll probably go to all the final games, barring, you know, racing or whatever else. So whenever they're in, mate, we like to go and watch them, and we're looking forward to it.
And didn't you make the rush trip back last year for the grand final in the Stretch limo and all that sort
Turnbull
of stuff?
Turnbull Stakes Day. Yeah.
Turnbull Stakes Day. So probably... Well, that'll be on the agenda again, Jimmy. No doubt you won't have to worry about it being a rooster support.
No, I'm also rabbits too. Oh, hang on. They're no good either. John, very good. Yes, I think everyone's excited about the performance of Stern, understandably so, and, of course, the stable as well with a good win from Chetwood as well. Always good with your time, John. We appreciate it, mate.
Thanks, boys. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, John.
John O'Shea there, the man at Godolphin, looking after operations here. And, you know, there was probably a little bit of pressure on John coming in with the performance of a Stern in the Golden Slipper and then, you know, in the space of, what is it, 1,200 metres, bang, away it goes. Away it goes.
Golden Rose favourite.
bang, straight into Golden Rose favourites. It was $4.60 at tab.com.au. If the Warriors beat the Tigers today, the Titans will be hoping Parra can beat the Warriors next week for them to make the finals. How ironic. No name on that. Oh, yeah, Parra Jason, yeah, because Jared Haynes there.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's a very good point, Parra Jason. Jimmy, leave Ray alone. You're in one of your moods. I really enjoy you too. That's from Judy.
Good morning, Judy.
No, Judy, I won't leave him alone. Usually hands out CDs left, right and centre.
We have to start doing it. And there's one also, an SMS from Michelle earlier, and she just asked whether I had a chance, Michelle from Dubbo Gym, like Judy always listens, whether I had a chance to go and check out the new, I think it's called The Hive at Rose Hill yesterday.
But yeah, I saw that advertised.
Yeah, I didn't get an opportunity and plus wanted to get home and try and watch some of the Penrith games.
Don't tell me you're out there working yesterday, right?
I was, yeah. But Rose Hill, seriously, Jimmy, is a world-class racing facility now. And
numbers there yesterday?
Actually, I didn't check that. That's a good point. I didn't check. The Winx Factor next week should hopefully get well over 10,000 to Randwick, but I didn't check that crowd yesterday.
Yeah, all right. We'll have a look at that in the break. It's a break. That's right. It's coming up right now. 1353 53 is the open line number. After that break, we'll be back with James Harron.
Sky Sports Radio has Tab Talk every morning at 10. Racing, sports, guests galore, and the all-important Tab Markets. Join the Tab Talk family every morning on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Gallo's pies are the best pies in Australia. They are my favourite pie. An all Australian owned and family operated business, Gallo's pies produce only the best quality premium pies. A magnificent range using only 100% lean Aussie beef, including chunky steak, curried beef, or the delicious beef and mushroom. Mushy's just beautiful. Gallo's pies available in all Coles and IGA stores. And if they're not there, please ask for Gallo's by name. At Gallo's Pies, we're thin on pastry, we're big on meat.
ZNZ Jewellers has been a Hurstville institution for over a quarter of a century, Raymond. For more than 20 years, they've been the source of official NRL watches and ring. We should get a premiership ring done for the ZNZ quiz.
What a good idea.
You v me.
Winner takes all.
Winner takes all.
What's the score?
17-all.
Could go in a golden point tiebreaker.
Yeah, what would we do there?
I don't know.
Should we have a wrestle to the death or something like that? Yeah.
You're much bigger than me, so.
Yeah, but you do 120 push-ups when you start the day.
I do, yeah.
ZNZ were the original designers.
And when
Any
I go
makers,
to bed at night. And,
what's that?
And when I have my shower at night.
So, do you?
Yeah. So 240, 250 each day.
Every day?
Yes.
Wow. You'll start developing muscle soon, right? ZNZ were the original designers and makers of the grand final rings for 17 years. Well, that's got under your skin, that. That's going to upset you all morning. No, so if you want the official watch of your team, or if your business needs corporate gifts of distinction, if you're looking for an engagement or a wedding ring, or if you want jewellery remodelled or repaired, do what the NRL does. Get to sit down. Wait, he's going to attack me here. See Alan at ZNZ Westfield Herschel or visit ZNZ.com. Don't sit down.
As usual, Jimmy's stretching the truth.
ZNZ.com.au. Proud sponsors of the Parramatta Eels, St George Junior Referees and Ray Thomas.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Another first-time guest is probably wondering what the hell he's coming into here. James Herron, good morning. And I must tell you, James, there is a serious side of this show. Good morning, James.
Morning, Ray. Morning, Jimmy.
Hey, James, have you ever noted how strong Ray Thomas is?
You better not answer that, James.
I've only heard this for 10 seconds, and I just wondered if it was really live or not at 7 o'clock.
It's really tragic, James, the things that happen here, and you should see what happens off air. You've got no idea. It's just it's horrendous. Hey, James, look, thanks for joining us, and didn't have a winner yesterday at Rose Hill, but those green and gold colours were carried to victory by a horse called Defcon in the McNeil Stakes at Caulfield yesterday. Stunning win, great ride, and he looks to have come back in super order, Defcon.
Yeah, look, it was super to see that, Ray. Peter and Paul have been really happy with him. Travelled down to Melbourne, great. He's actually going to resume in Sydney and had a little temporal virus, so we had to go to Melbourne with him. And Peter was sort of pretty confident that he'd improved from yesterday's run going into it. So it was lovely to see him do that.
Mm. The lethal sprint is something that Peter spoke about, and how much of a danger that can be. That's a really good thing, a great thing to have up the sleeve, James.
Yeah, look, it's Peter. Actually, you know, he brought it up a long time ago about this horse. He said, you know, when he furnishes a bit more and all comes together, which we're seeing now, you know, he created so much better than he has been as a two-year-old and physically developed all over and mentally. So, yeah, that turn of foot and which Dwayne Dunn sort of, which showed us so well on Saturday, he just pings and at the right time of the race. But at the same time, nice to see him go through the line so strongly this time.
James, you've got the Glamour Colt Capless heading towards the Coolmore Stud. So is Defcon potentially your Caulfield Guineas chance?
Look, we've always sort of wanted to keep him sprinting, to be honest, Ray.
Right.
So we'll probably just sort of keep aiming these sort of colts towards the Coolmore and see where it takes us. But the idea was probably that both those horses would go that direction, and if they take each other on, then that's fine. You know, it's a very, very big Group 1, very important race, and they probably both deserve their chance at it.
Where to start, James? I read the great article from Ray in the Daily Telegraph a couple of weeks ago, and just looking at the horses that you've identified and been involved with, Fiorente, Capitalist, Vancouver, how did you develop it? What are the things you look for, and how... You know, do you think it's a natural thing or one that you've learned?
Oh, that's very kind. Look, I've worked very, very hard at it and been around some fantastic people who have learned so much from and have got a huge interest in it from a very early age. So I was lucky to have that sort of that focus and very lucky to be surrounded by people that were happy to share information and who you can learn from, and that's so important in this game because there's no university degree for it, so to speak. So you've got to rely on great organisations and people, and I was lucky to have that all the way through my career.
Yeah, and last season, James, was the first time you sort of went out for this venture where you brought some backers in. You bought a bunch of primarily colts. Peter and Paul Snowden were your trainers, and it was a dream start, wasn't it? A Golden Slipper, a Magic Means, a Black Opal, and... Now this group of 2-year-olds are now obviously 3-year-olds, and so much ahead of them again.
Yeah, look, it was a dream start, and we were very, very blessed. We've got a great group of owners who really are enjoying it, and they're enjoying the success, but they also take the losses really well, and we're a real team amongst us, and you know, everyone puts 100% in. The Snowdons, as you guys know, just give it 110%, and you know, we've got a great association with Blake and other various jockeys who we've had success with. So it's been a huge, huge, big team effort, and you know, hopefully we just got to keep the head down and keep it rolling on.
What about this 2-year-old season? Anything that the listeners could keep an eye on?
Look, it's a bit early, Jimmy. I mean, we're last Friday was the first little sort of educatory jump out,
right.
And they'll do that again this Friday, and then you know there'll be sort of obviously those sort of horses are sort of going to put their hands up for the trials on the 19th of September or not. So, look, to be honest with you, it's just still a couple of weeks early, but you know we're obviously looking at them quite every day, and
sure.
Peter's happy with how they're developing and things like that. But when he's not pressed the buttons just yet, so to speak.
Mm. Just finally, James, a quick update if I could on Capitalist. Also, just your summation of Mediterranean's effort yesterday. He was competitive in the Run to the Rose and Detective in the first at Wyong today.
Yeah, look, starting with Capitalist, look, he's terrific. Looks terrific. You know, we had the sort of Wyong lead up run into the Magic Millions. You know, we had the Todman into the Golden Slipper, and we're going to do the same thing with the Como, just one run into it. So, most likely to kick off in Sydney in the Roman Consul that way.
Mm-hmm.
But look, if we're going to get wet tracks or anything like that, we're not going to run that horse on that again. He doesn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Going to keep him on top of the ground and back to set weights to get him rolling for the Coolmore. So,
mm-hmm.
So he's great. And Mediterranean, look, he's the real consensus, which has been for quite a long time, is he's really crying out for a bit further ground.
Yeah.
We did have the option at the up and coming, but you know, the idea was that Peter's thought the 2 weeks leading into the Rose would give him the best possible chance, and that was the smartest thing to do. So it was always going to be a tough race yesterday. A few horses that would have appreciated that trip a bit more than us. But look, we really want to see him out at 14 and 16 now. He's definitely looking for that in his running style, and he's probably slightly out of his comfort zone for quite a long way there, which took a wee bit of the finish out of him.
Yeah, it's exciting horses at an exciting time of the year for horsemen and women. So, James, great to speak. Watch out for Ray Thomas next time you see him at the races with the Greco-Roman wrestling. Very strong in the clinches. Just be aware of that.
I'll look the other way if he changes.
Well, that could be the worst thing, James. He'll get you then.
I wouldn't be too worried about James at all.
Thanks, James.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, James.
James Herron there. Great eye for a horse.
Mm.
And he's having some success there, isn't he, with Peter and Paul Snowden and that syndicate team, the owners that he's got there.
And race one, number one, Detective today. 5 starts last season, 4 seconds, including a VRC size second. Pretty smart horse. Good race, that, up against Military Machine and Drakenfell. So not a gimme.
Hey, boys, how about JT? Premiership with the Dogs, premiership with the Cows, plus Rick Charlesworth, cricket and hockey. That's Andrew from Mayfield. Can I get a watch? No, Andrew, you may not have a watch, but appreciate you asking. ZZ Watches is where we get our watches. Let's go to some callers on the line there. Howie is there. Hello, Howie.
Hello, boys.
Hey, good morning, Howie.
With your topic, the great Elwyn Walters.
Oh,
yes.
Nice.
Yeah.
Right, 3 comps with South Sydney, then one with Manly, then one with Eastern Suburbs.
Did he play at Manly as well, did he?
Yeah.
Really? The hooker, yeah, okay. I remember he was definitely at the Roosters and definitely at the Rabbitohs.
Yeah.
And he played for Australia too, didn't he, Howie?
Yeah, and he lives around the corner from me in Tweed Heads.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, does he?
Okay.
Yeah.
Might get the number off him off air and he might be our legend by next week. Every opportunity we get, Howie. Every opportunity.
You're unbelievable, right?
Okay, boys.
Good on you, Howie. That's a good one.
Yeah. He did. He played with Manly. There we go. Just got look. South Sydney 67 to 73. The Roosters 74 to 76. And Manly in 77. So 77.
Didn't win a premiership.
But Willie, he's
right.
Well and truly qualifies, though, with the two great sides. Nigel's on the line. Hello, Nigel.
Morning, Jimmy. Morning, Ray.
Yeah, good morning, Nigel.
Freddie Fittler.
Oh,
yeah, Penrith.
Of course.
Yeah, 1991. Penrith. And then
Roosters,
yep.
City, New South Wales, Australia.
The thing about it is Freddie made a lot of those teams great. Much better teams,
yeah.
You know. That's
true.
But that's a good one. The Panthers and the Roosters, premiership winning.
What a player, Fred Fittler.
Yeah. Great nomination.
Good one, Nigel. Right at the top of the tree. What about a CD?
Right, are you
I'm slow
CD.
Out of the blocks, though. Just great rock songs, Nigel, coming your way. So, well done. Good call. Brad Fittler. What a player, Jimmy Smith.
Oh, great player. Great player. Great fella. 1353-53 is the open line number. We're going to take a break. After the break, we'll come back and speak to Andy Pascalidis. We'll put Andy Pascalidis on the spot as well. Get him to give us a nominee for a player who played in two great sides. Mm.
Midweek racing is fully covered on Sky Sports Radio. This Wednesday from 9:30, get your Sydney preview lowdown with form analysts Paul Joyce and Ray Thomas, plus the latest tab markets. Racing HQ, every Wednesday on Sky Sports Radio.
Get a 10% Bingley gift card with any 4K UHD TV from Samsung, LG, Sony or Hisense. Yes, a 10% Bingley gift card with 4K UHD TVs. Here's the deal. Buy a TV with around 8 million tiny dots called pixels on the screen. The tech guys call it 4K UHD, ultra high definition, and get a 10% gift card when you buy one at Bingley. For a limited time only, terms and conditions apply. See bingley.com.au for details.
All covered, all grounds, all beaten. Franco won the Champion Stakes and lived up to the fight.
International Racing at its very best, 7 days a week
across the Sky Racing Network.
Ben has rung in with a message for a very special person.
That's right. This one's for Mark Geyer. Oh, I couldn't love a bloke more. With a 91 grand final on the line, he regathered Canberra's short drop out and set up the winning try.
That's breathtaking. It's easy to love a bet on the NRL. On your Tab app, online, or at your local Tab.
Tab, we love a bet. Gamble responsibly.
Bit of a repositioning here from the Tab with you. And I've got to say, watch the TV ad.
Saw him this morning.
Did you see them? Mark Geyer is in the NRL one and Chris Judd is in the AFL one. Don't know what they were with Carlton then. It must have been West Coast, was it?
No, it might
just have
been
West Coast. Come on. ferry over to Luna Park, Sydney for an incredible day of Melbourne Cup celebrations. Tuesday, November 1. Oh, there you go.
Melbourne Cup at
the Luna Park. How good would that be? It's got live betting facilities, fashions on the field, plus lucky door prizes, raffles and sweeps. I'm a celebrity. Get me out of here. Star Akmal Saleh. He's good, Akmal. Mm. Very funny fella. And MC Gary Eck guarantee a lively atmosphere while you enjoy a fabulous afternoon of fun and entertainment. A three-course lunch and a four-hour beverage package. Haven't they got that round the right way?
Oh.
You wouldn't want a three-hour beverage package and a four-course lunch, would you? No, so they've got that exactly right. A three-course lunch and the four-hour beverage package. It's available to suit small and large groups. Spots are strictly limited for this guaranteed to sell out fast event. Book now at lunaparkvenues.com.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mongoa Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to the show. Now it's that time of the morning. Talk all things football. Andy Pascalidis has been good enough to join us. Andy, good morning. I was watching a bit of the Liverpool Spurs game last night. 1-1 draw for the good guys, but exciting to watch that, Andy.
It was indeed, and it was a user-friendly time, wasn't it? 9:30, and Spurs equalised through Danny Rose in the 72nd after Milner's penalty in the 43rd. But Liverpool perhaps unlucky to take maximum points when a lot of us thought that Spurs would prevail. Liverpool have had some injury problems of late, but it was a very, very attractive game and a good way to start round three.
All right, we're going to put you on the spot. I don't know whether you've heard our talk topic this morning, Andy, but we're looking for players or coaches even that have had two great teams. I'd imagine from the world of football there's...
Two great teams?
Yeah.
I would probably say in the first, Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah.
United and Real Madrid.
Yes.
Luis Suarez, Liverpool and Barcelona.
Yeah. Oh, there's another one.
Zinedine Zidane.
Oh, look, you know, you pick some of the great players. you know, you can pick two or three clubs that they've started with. But
exactly.
I think right now, you know, just off the top, particularly Suarez. I mean, he was fantastic for Liverpool, and he continues to be a brilliant player for Barcelona. He'll be in action tomorrow morning, actually. Athletic Bilbao away from home. Real Madrid actually beat Celta Vigo 2-1 this morning. No Ronaldo playing. He's still not 100% post-Euro 2016.
Back to the EPLs. Sorry, Jimmy. I was going to say Chelsea and Man U off to super starts for the season.
They are. Chelsea did what we expected they would against Burnley at home at the Bridge, beating them 3-0. They're up 2-0 at half time. And Man United, though, different story. Marcus Rashford come off the bench and Wayne Rooney crossed to him, and he got the points in the 92nd minute, 1-0, against a very impressive Hull this season. They've taken two wins previously in two starts, so it was you could call it a top-of-the-table clash. And the Premiership at the moment, there's two teams with maximum points so far, Chelsea and Man U, 9 points. Two clear of Everton, they beat Stoke 1-0. And Man City, of course, in action tomorrow morning. $1.25 against West Ham, outsiders at $9, and no shocks there in the markets. And if Man City win, they'll join their crosstown rivals Man U and Chelsea on 9 points.
Yeah, it's the usual suspects, isn't it? Top of the ladder there for the EPL. What about some of the Aussies abroad? Tommy Rogic, I'm novice when it comes to watching football, but I watch him play and I think there's something special about him, Andy.
There is, mate, and he's one of our best players, isn't he? And, he scored again for Celtic this morning. They beat Aberdeen 4-1. He got the fourth goal. Celtic have got 9 points from three games. Rangers, their old rivals, are on 8 points from four games. They drew away at Kilmarnock 1-1. But Rogic will be a key player for the Socceroos as they prepare to play a raft next Thursday. Jackson Irvine, he actually scored again for Burton Albion. 3 goals and 3 starts for him. Aaron Moy in action. Huddersfield beat Wolves 1-0. Huddersfield at top of the English League Championship. Massimo Luongo played for Queen's Park Rangers. Bailey Wright, he also played for Preston. A lot of the Aussie boys have played overnight. Mitch Langrack in goals for Stuttgart. Matty Ryan, unfortunately, Valencia lost 1-0 away to Eibar. Matthew Leckie played a full shift for Ingolstadt. They drew 1-1 at Hamburg. And this is all important news for Ange Postecoglou as he prepares for this phase of the World Cup qualifying campaign.
Here with the Iraq game coming up. Andy, can I ask you about Alex Bross? Good news here. He's got a new deal with Sydney FC.
How old's Alex?
I think Alex is 32. A really good guy.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what, a couple of weeks ago we did a fundraiser for a lovely lady who's battling cancer. Her son plays in the local association at St George. And you know what, he put his hand up and then he SMS'd me during the week. He was touched by the fundraiser and everything else about it. And he said, how can I make a donation? My wife and I want to make a donation. That's the sort of guy he is. Look, injury plague season last year, just remember, you know, when he played, he was so incisive and so important to Sydney FC. And I reckon if he had a full season injury free last season, they would have made the finals for sure.
Hence my question about his age. Sometimes that's hard to do, isn't it, when you get to that age? 32 turns 33 in October.
There you go. Yeah. So a lot to offer, obviously.
Yeah, you would think so. You would think so.
Five goals, 13 games last season.
And Timmy Cahill was back during the week. Sellout.
Yeah, we love that. Didn't we love that? I mean, it was Perry Park. It was the FFA Cup. He came on, but that game actually sold out before they kicked off. So it just shows you the sort of impact that he will have.
Yeah.
It was good to see him get a few runs, but obviously it's all about Iraq on Thursday night. United Arab Emirates away from home in Abu Dhabi on September 7th. So Ange Postecoglou will be a happy chappy seeing him just on the pitch.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Andy. That covers it for us. We're looking forward to
Thursday
some more
night.
EPL.
Thursday night, a big game.
Yeah, Thursday night, and then we'll chat again next Sunday.
We will indeed. Enjoy the day, boys, and to our listeners, of course.
Yeah,
good on you,
absolutely.
Andy.
Well said. Good work with Alex Bross, too, a Sydney FC fan. So good.
We've had him on this show a couple of times. Really polished media performer and terrific player. And as Andy just mentioned, obviously a really decent bloke off the field as well.
Absolutely. Let's go to the callers. The talk topic's going gangbusters, Raymond.
Well done, Jimmy Smith.
1353-53. Joe's on the line. Hello, Joe.
G'day, fellas. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Joe.
Mate. Look, that Tim Castellano situation with Corey Parker last week.
Yeah.
I reckon the whole Blues organisation would be so happy that Sam gave him his going away present for all the mouthing you've been giving him after the state of the West Coast over the last few years.
I suppose.
And let me tell you something. If he getting convicted of that, that was terribly wrong, really. I mean, if he went to court and there was a court case out of this, he went to court, that would have got dismissed. They couldn't prove he did that on purpose. But they've given him the 2 weeks on suspicion.
Joe.
Yeah,
they charged him, and Joe, he had the right and the opportunity to fight it and didn't.
Mm.
Yeah, because they didn't want to risk him for the semi-finals. That's why he put his hand up.
Des Hasler came out and said, look, it's not his go. He's a gentle giant. He wouldn't have done it on purpose.
That's right.
Joe, he's an aggressive player. Zorba tried to say it last week. He's an aggressive player. And there's nothing wrong with being an aggressive player.
That's the Cowboys' history you've got. You've got blokes that are getting their heads knocked off and they get off, knocking blokes' heads off and they get off. This thing here was an accident.
Joe, you can't tell me. We'll beg to differ. If you want to talk about inconsistencies with the judiciary, I'm happy to discuss that.
Mm.
But in my mind, I think what the penalty that Sam Cassiano, remember, he accepted, I think was a fair one.
He wasn't looking, but he knew where Corey Parker was, Jim.
Of course he did. And he's not an aggressive player. Yes, he is. Mm. And there's nothing wrong with that. You want your big front row to be aggressive.
And he's fantastic. Sam Cassiano, presence on the field, he lifts the dogs.
And didn't they miss him on Thursday?
Absolutely.
But, yeah, Joe, we'll have a differ on that one. Now, by the way, first question now for the Event Cinemas, courtesy of Event Cinemas out of Parramatta, Prakash and the team out there. We've got the goal pass, the double pass to give away today. First question, Andy Pascalides. Who were the two guys that he mentioned as his players who played in two star teams. Who are the two players that Andy Pascalides mentioned? Don't call now for that, but call now for the ZenZ quiz. We've got Quizmaster Jeremy back in the house, and aren't we all nervous?
Controversy. All begins.
53. Now he throws it at me and says, check those, please. Trying to make just a portion blame to me if everything goes wrong. Call now if you want to be part of this damn quiz.
No, you can't say that.
53.
Highlight of the show.
Midweek racing is fully covered on Sky Sports Radio. This Wednesday from 9:30, get your Sydney preview lowdown with form analysts Paul Joyce and Ray Thomas, plus the latest tab markets. Racing HQ, every Wednesday on Sky Sports Radio.
All the King's Horses, the Bart Cummings story, is on DVD.
Everything was done the right way. It was done his way.
He had absolute faith in what he did.
He took horses to another level and made them champions.
Demanded excellence at every stage of the training process.
1-4 in the Melbourne Cup. That's as good as Bradman's batting average.
We commemorate the legacy of the Cup's King on the extended unseen DVD version with bonus features.
Winning life well lived on a betting ticket.
Available from August 18.
Jimmy, I need your attention here. Very, very important, because for the best price on a new Mazda, you go and see the man. What man, I ask you, Jim?
The man from Mazda.
100%. Penrith Mazda Centre is family-owned and operated with the best selection and the best prices on all new Mazdas, including the BT50. Now, the BT50 range, as Jimmy Smith well knows, gives you more grunt, more torque, and more comfort. So come and see the BT50 specialists at the Mazda Ute Centre, Penrith, with over 40 BT50s on display at Penrith Mazda Centre, Mulgoa Road, Penrith, MD18808.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales, Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Can I have a moment of your time? SMS come in. An accident. One of your best, Joe. That's come in from Corey. I don't think it's Corey Parker. He might listen to the program. I don't know. Yes, I couldn't agree with Joe on that one, Raymond.
Z&Z quiz time. Jimmy, I've won the toss. I'm betting. You're bowling from the cathedral end.
That's right.
Bit of movement in the air.
Oh, not when I bowl, unfortunately.
I was always vulnerable to movement. Just the way. Ross is on the line. Ross, good morning from Mudgee. Are you, Ross? How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks. How are you doing?
Terrific, Ross. Well, you know the rules, mate. Here we go. Question number one, the very best of luck, Ross. Who do the Warriors play in the NRL today? Is it the Tigers, the Storm, or the Broncos?
The Tigers.
Solid start, Ross. Question number two. Who scored the first try in the Cowboys' win over the Bulldogs on Thursday night? Was it Jason Taumalolo, Greg Eastwood, or Ethan Lowe?
That was Big Eastwood.
Yeah, it was, yeah. The big intercept. That was a sight.
Jeez, he was running in quicksand at the end there, wasn't he?
Ross, great start here. Question number three, Ross. When Dally M voting went silent this season, which of these players had the most votes? Mick Ennis, Jonathan Thurston, or Anthony Milford?
Let's go with Milford. He started the year pretty strong.
No, he had 11 points. JT's on 12. Mick Ennis, 13 points when the votes went silent, Ross. Good start, Ross. Two questions. Stay on the line there, Jimmy.
Yeah, over the Bronco. Hey, Bronco.
How are you, Jimmy?
Yeah, really well, mate. I'm looking for you to do strongly here.
Oh, I hope so.
All right, here we go. Who do the Eels play in the National Rugby League on Monday night? Is it the Dragons?
The Eels play the Dragons.
Right, there you go. I love when you don't even need the options. Yeah. All right, question two. Who scored the last try in the Cowboys' win over the Bulldogs last Thursday night? Was it Jason Taumalolo, Greg Eastwood, or Ethan Lowe?
Greg Eastwood.
Nice, Bronco. Yeah, very good. When Dally M voting went silent this season, which of these players had the most votes? Was it Ben Barber, Cameron Munster, or Bryce Cartwright?
I will go... Munster.
Should have gone close. The former Bronco, Ben Barber. Bronco?
Oh, no.
All right, here we go.
What's this?
Here we go. The tiebreaker question. I've just had a look at the tiebreaker question, Bronco, and they've stitched me up here.
It's legit, though, Bronco.
At the request of Jimmy, today's tiebreaker question is, how many games of NRL did I play in Australia? So how many NRL games did I play?
More than enough.
More than enough, eh? Hang on, you got to have a
Have a guess, Bronco.
Can we say between 50 and 150?
Okay, you played 74.
Okay.
All right, yep. Okay, stay on. Ross, you there?
Yeah, mate.
Okay, here's a tiebreaker question, Ross. Best of luck. At the request of Jimmy Smith, today's tiebreaker question is, how many games of first grade did Jimmy Smith play in Australia? Between 50 and 150, Ross?
84.
That'll do, Ross. Well done. He played 121. You were closest. Congratulations, Ross. Hey, Ross, what's your team?
Well done, Ross. This is a
jam.
Eels.
Ross, you're going public with that?
They've done me proud on the field.
They have, haven't they? Yeah. They've had a really good season on the field, unfortunately. Yeah. Everything else has gone wrong off the field. We'll stay on the line, Ross. We'll get you that Z&Z watch in the colours of the Eels out to you shortly. Jimmy Smith, score check now.
You're 18, I'm 17, and I'm disgusted at what's happened here this morning. You set me up for this, Ray Thomas.
I had no idea about that.
You came in here earlier today and said, how many games did you play? You got the information from producer Jeremy and passed it on. You two are a disgrace. I'm outraged. Be very lucky if I'm back after this ad break.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
I get on my back, no survivor last. They got me in the
sky. I'll go defend myself here. Jimmy Smith, I'll go defend myself here. What actually happened was that...
I know what happened, Ray.
No, it's very, very important. I don't want listeners out there get the wrong idea. Our good friend, producer Jeremy...
Start it again. Your good friend, producer
we're
Jeremy.
We're one team here, Jimmy Smith. Good friend, producer Jeremy said, Ray, tiebreaker question, I'd love you to just to check it. And I did, and I said, Jeremy, that's wrong. He had you down at 120 games. And because I watch you all the time on Fox... on the Fox coverage, where it says Jimmy Smith, first grade games, 121.
Leave me out of this.
Look at any other questions.
Well,
once again, the Z&Z quiz has put a demarcation between us two and tension in the studio.
I think Dave from Wattle Grove got it exactly right. Bring back Tanya.
Tan's all forgiven. Tanya's got thumbs up. She's back next week.
Yeah, I agree with it. I tell you what, this bloke, our regular, we don't know how many games he played, because if you go to the Rugby League Project, it doesn't actually list how many games they played during the course of
his
outstanding career for the Parramatta Eels and the Manly Warringah Sea Eagles.
About 180?
No.
More?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 seasons. 6 seasons. So okay. He only played 20 games. So okay. Max, why don't we? He's on the.
We'll ask him.
Yeah. Hello, Zor.
Hey, boys.
Morning,
Pete.
How
many first grade games they don't keep stats from then.
Oh, is it that long ago?
They were counting him with an abacus, weren't they?
I don't know. I think I played 20 odd at Power and 70 odd at Manly.
Yeah, right.
Didn't quite get the 100, Pete?
No.
Okay. You got the one that counts.
I got the one that counted. Yeah, that was right. I was lucky. I played in a great side, and it allowed me to have a lot of fun. I retired at 28 to continue my journalistic career.
Mm-hmm. And to think the great Michael Cronin was the one who went past your goal-kicking record for the Parramatta Reels.
Oh, boy.
Hey, it was a pretty good one.
Yeah, pretty good one.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. All right, what do you make of the games this weekend? I thought it was a very interesting performance from the Broncos, not so much that they beat the Storm, but the manner in which they beat the Storm. Mm.
It's a weird competition, Jimmy. Now, one game out from the finals, the form team is that team. The team that was struggling 1 month back.
Yeah.
Brisbane, coached by Wayne Bennett, they seem to be gathering momentum at the right time as the wily old fox done it again.
Yeah.
We tend to forget that it's 29 years ago in a few weeks that he first appeared on the coaching scene big time when he was co-coach of the Canberra Raiders in the last ever grand final to be played at the Sydney Cricket Ground in 1987.
Yeah.
When Canberra strutted some young fellas out who won their first competition a few years later. But look, the Broncos are looking pretty good, and they're going to finish with a game against the Roosters next week to prepare them for the finals. They'll start off at home. And they're going to be hard to beat again. Mm.
And, Pete, what do you make of the Storm, given that next week's just a huge clash, minor premiership on the line when they take on... Are they a resurgent Sharks now?
Oh, I don't think we can say they're resurgent on one game. I thought the Roosters might win that game last night. They started well, 12-0. But the Sharks, I think they got back to that tough grind last night. And that'll do them world of good, a win like that prior to the finals. Really, if you go on what we've seen this weekend, it's the Cowboys and the Broncos again.
I reckon. I like the Storm still.
You do?
Yeah, I still think the Storm can win it.
Well, I think that the Broncos showed them up a fair bit. They've got some players in that back line that are really rejects from other clubs.
Yes.
I know their wingers are terrific players. The fullback's a good player. Cronk's a great player. And the 5-8's very steady. I just think that a couple of the centres might let them down in finals football. But look, they've been there all year. They're entitled to have a hiccup. That game next week will probably tell us a little bit more about them. But it's going to be an exciting final series. And the only spot up for grabs now is that 8th spot. And the Titans currently have it on 27, but they finish with the Cowboys away next week. So let's presume that they're going to remain on 27. It's either the only team that can catch them or the only two teams are the Warriors, who play the West Tigers today.
Yes.
And the West Tigers. Both those teams need to win their final two games. So one of those two will drop out.
Yes.
I presume it'll be the West Tigers today.
Yes.
And that'll mean the Warriors have to beat the Eels at home and hope that the Titans go down to the Cowboys. So the Warriors, once again, the enigma of the NRL, will probably sneak into 8th spot and maybe cause a few little heart flutters to those teams above them.
Extraordinary. Hey, Peter, haven't had a chance to watch a replay of the Raiders-Manly game from yesterday. You would have obviously watched that. The Raiders... less or minus Blake Austin. How do they fare? Very high scoring game, 44-30.
Well, I walked away from that game last night and I thought to myself, I think the Raiders are 1 year off. They can't go into the finals with the defence that they showed last night. If Manly, minus the likes of Steve Maddie, Brett Stewart, Jamie Lyon, Dylan Walker, all of their attacking flair really out of the game, and they had 30 points put on them by Manly. They did enough to win. They did look a different side without Blake Green in it.
Mm.
And I think he's going to be a massive loss for them if they don't have him for the final series. I'm prepared to say they need this final series to get back into final football and find out what it's all about, but they will fall well short.
Jimmy, how bad is that? Is Blake Austin's hand? Is he out for the finals?
No, he's not out completely for the year, but there's a big chance that he will miss every game, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I understand.
I thought there was a chance there. If Braden Willey-Army, and it was forward, gets that pass right to Tom Trbojevic, right back in the game there, Manly.
Well, didn't Tommy have a game? He scored three tries, had one disallowed.
He's amazing.
Mm. Yeah, he is a special talent.
Actually, we've got
I agree. It would have been 18-16. Instead, Leigh Lewis scored two tries in 3 minutes and virtually put the game away for the Raiders. But, you know, pretty proud of the effort by the boys last night with the side that we were forced to put on the field. Hey, guys, I know you two had to go to bed early last night, so I did. I took one for the team. I watched Hull FC play Warrington in the English Challenge Cup final with a lot of Aussies on display. And Hull came from 10-0 down to win and win their first cup at Wembley in 74 years.
Wow.
22,000 fans travelled from the north of England down to London for the game for Hull. It was a dour struggle. But lots of Aussies on there and lots of players that we know here. Gareth Ellis, who spent so much time with the West Tigers, was captain of Hull. Sika Manu played. Manu Fanua from Melbourne. Frank the Tank Pritchard.
Hey.
And one of our good mates, Mark Minicello. He's been a long time in our game.
Yeah.
And they're among the winning team. And Kurt Gidley, unfortunately, missed a sitter for the Warrington Wolves, and that paid heavily on them in the end of the game. Chrissy Sandow, Aston Sims, along with Gidley, Aussies in that Warrington side. What an occasion. Mm. Just fantastic, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. But good luck
brilliant.
To Hull.
Mm. Isn't it just brilliant, the Challenge Cup? It's fantastic. And just quickly, Zor, before you get your zapper, Monday nights, I know you've never been a fan, but we say goodbye then.
Mm. Oh, hallelujah. I don't drink all that much these days, but I'm going to crack a bottle of champagne with Chazzy tomorrow night and farewell, Monday Night Football. You beauty. It's over. I don't think that any of the clubs or the fans will worry. It's been a disaster since day one. Poor crowds, shocking gate takings, bad look for TV with empty grounds. We go to Thursday night, and obviously we're going to have 4 or 5 day turnarounds again, but not as many, we hope. So let's hope they get the draw right. Incidentally, that cup final that I watched last night, one referee who has a day job, by the way, did a very good job. And no bunker. Thank God for that. It was good not to go to the bunker every time there was something happening in the game.
The only thing they've got to do is bring Thursday night footy, bring the kickoff forward an hour.
Yeah, not 8 o'clock.
Too late. Too late. All right, get your zapper quickly, Zorb.
Yeah, I'm confident of this. I think the Warriors will win today. Every time I tip them, they don't. But I think they'll cover the point start there today. Rabbitohs will cover it against the Knights, who are just, you know, one game away from their worst ever season.
Yep.
And the Eels, I think, will beat the Dragons tomorrow night. So I'm taking all those teams with the start. I know they're all favourites, but I think they'll cover the start.
Yeah, they are all favourites. So you've got the Warriors minus 10.5 into the Rabbitohs minus 13.5 into the Eels minus 5.5. We've got to go. We've got the scratchings coming up. Good on you, Zorb. We'll speak next week.
Okay, boys.
Thanks, Pete.
There he is, Peter Peters, with all the latest on rugby league. And just on that, we better get to the scratchings for the first time. Relieved of duties from the quiz. Very happy, Tanya.
I just noticed how neatly Jeremy's placed all the CDs and the movie tickets and everything.
Compulsive.
I just throw them at you. Racing in New South Wales today at Wyong and Maria. Let's start with Wyong, where the weather is fine. The track a soft 7. The rail is out 4 metres from the 1350 to the 210 and 3 the remainder and 13 scratchings. Race 1, take out 6, Fabier and 7, Just a Mo, 6 and 7. Race 2 is clear. Out of race 3, take 5, Baby Shoes, 8, Excitable and 11, Love Las Vegas, 5, 8, 11. Race 4, number 1, Impressive 1. 12, Lama Hilton, and 14, Foursome, 1, 12, and 14. Race 5 is clear. Add the 6, take out 7, Fountains, number 7 from race 6. Race 7 is clear. And out of race 8, take 2, Be Like Dad, 10, Michu, 12, Super Pig, and 13, Little Miss Brown, 2, 10, 12, and 13 from race 8 at Wyong. To Maria, The weather is fine. The track a good four. The rail is out 3 metres from the 1,000 to the 380 and 15 scratchings. The first is clear. Out of race two, takes 13, Red Heat, number 13 from race two. Race three, number five, Barefoot Babe. 13, Viva Lavino. 14, Magical Verdict. And 15, Quiano Queen. 5, 13, 14 and 15. Race four, number four, Pure Reflection. 7, Red Fender. 9, Uncle Jerry. And 10, Lighty to 90. 4, 7, 9 and 10. Race 5, take out 3, Blue Car Lou. 4, Royal Reggie. And 14, Magic Season. 3, 4 and 14. Race 6, number 5, Royal Jackpot. Take out 5 from race 6. And out of race 7, number 1, Precocious. And 8, Vela Longchick. 1 and 8 from race 7 at Maruya.
And some tips today, Tan and Jimmy, in Wyong, race three, number three, Oakfield Ricky for Gerald Ryan, looks well placed here. What's the first race, Jim? That's the maiden, mm-hmm. race one. Extraordinary to think a Sunday maiden at Wyong could potentially lead some group class horses, but only five runners, but it's a high quality race, Detective, Military Machine, Drakenfels, etc. But best bet there, race three, number three, Oakfield Ricky. And at Maruya, race four, number three, Liam E. Astray.
Good on you, Raymond. Coming up after the break, we're going to have a chat to our legend of the game. It's Mark Edward Waugh. How good is that, speaking to the great Australian cricketer? What pathetic bad sportsmanship from you, James. Sit in the naughty corner and apologise for